studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
We can never talk about that on the air, though. We can't bring it up on the air because then, A, it makes this a tedious morning show.
I mean, even more so.
And then secondly, that's all we'll be able to talk about for the rest of the day. That's one of those things where if you start talking about it, suddenly it dominates the entire program, and that's all the people will allow you to talk about.
Maybe I'll just Google it then.
It's like starting the program by going, so, abortion. It's just one of those, what about that wacky death penalty? Hey, who wants to talk about gun control? If you start talking about dream analysis, and I realize now that I'm doing the thing that I said I wasn't going to do by revealing it, First of all,
it was just a really freaky dream.
It's retarded. Not your dream. I don't mean your dream is retarded, but I mean the whole discussing your dreams. When we saw Carlin at the Schnitzer, I wish you'd seen that. He was brilliant. When we saw Carlin at the Schnitzer a couple weeks ago, he did this whole great, fantastic rant, which is, of course, better than anything I could ever do. Sparkling, wonderful, jagged gold. Because I've often said that there's two things that are only interesting to you, your childhood and your dreams. No one cares about either of those things. No one cares about some quirky story that happened to you when you were a kid. No one cares about what is some dream you had 3 weeks ago. But people always forget. They're like, I had the strangest dream 2 weeks ago. Now, look, you were there, but you were made out of saltwater taffy. And I don't understand what that means. And then you were standing at the foot of my bed, and then suddenly Ralph Cramden was there, and he and I were engaged in sexual congress. And then we were on the moon. And they're going on about it as though it means... What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. As Carlin said, it means you're in need of confinement. That's what it means. And this is all I'm going to say about it, is that the worst thing about the stupid dream analysis, which is what every bad hack radio show falls back on when they're not busy having psychics on, is that everybody, dreams are like when you have the strep or whatever, and somebody wants, you have a cold and somebody has the home remedy for you. Everybody will answer your dream question definitively, like they have any goddamn way of knowing. Well, what does it mean when I have a dream and one of my eyes is all itchy? Well, that means that you have job stress. How does anybody know what it means? Because you were saying you had a thing about your teeth, right?
I did.
I realized I haven't done the show intro. I haven't said what time it is or the year of our Lord or any of that. I'm just getting out of the way.
It just popped into my head. I just remembered it right now.
Because you had a dream of your teeth were black or crumbly or pokey.
Yeah, like they were black and like all... They weren't black. They were like gray almost. Gray on the inside.
And so, not unlike yourself, Sarah. It's gray on the inside. But see, I've had that dream tour where it's like, hey, my teeth are falling out. And just people go, well, you know, that means job stress. What about yours? It means job stress. You're making it up. Those are completely fabricated answers. It means nothing. Don't call me.
I don't want to know.
Don't email. No, seriously. Email Sarah if you really feel compelled. If you feel like you absolutely have to weigh with your tedious, ponderous, made-up, goddamn observations about what a dream means. Send those things to sarah@970.am.
Thanks, Rick.
I'm just saying, don't send them to me because I don't care and I'm going to delete them without reading them. sarah@970.am. Or, if you'd like, tim@970.am. He won't read them either, though.
My dream was different.
Really? Would you like to share it? Let's just all go around the room and share what we dreamt about.
I had a dream over the weekend that somebody was riding bicycles on top of a train that I was riding in.
Wait, so you're riding the train. Okay,
I'm
this
riding
is
in a train, and then there's a train behind me.
Was it like a modern train, or was it like a steam locomotive?
No, it was a modern
train. Like an Amtrak.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a train behind me, and I see these bicycles ride down the front of the train, and then go on top of the train that I'm riding in.
Okay, that is kind of interesting,
yeah.
Actually.
So I don't know what that means. But I thought it's
enough
to do that.
Now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it.
This is what you could never... From the train behind me, go down, and then go up the side and on the roof of my train.
All right. See, it starts this way, and then you're playing Battle of the Sexes. That's how it ends. You can also email Scotty with your dream thoughts. It's scottyj@970.am. Don't email me. Hi there. It's 4 minutes and 38 seconds. It will kill. This is why programs do this, by the way. This is why radio shows talk about dreams. This is why they have psychics on. This is why they play high-low. Because you can kill 5 hours like that. Bam. Doesn't matter. What do you do? Well, we're going to have somebody on to tell you what your Cocker Spaniel's thinking. Why? Because you can kill an hour that way and you don't actually have to prepare anything. Anyway, it's now 6 minutes after the hour of 11. See how the time... Ain't the time just flying by? After the hour of 11 in this, the month of June, in the year of our Lord, 2007, thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. If you'd like to join us today, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you'd like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, and your so forth. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. As Tim said before we even started today's program, it's a busy day. Locally, nationally, every conceivable way, every pile of news, every demarcation of information that we've got here is huge. I was going to start this by spinning the pop culture question wheel. I don't even know if I should do that now if it's going to eat up too much time. What do we think? Yes? No?
Yes. Please eat up more time.
Okay. We're now spinning the pop culture question wheel. This occurred to me while I was putting product in my hair this morning.
Oh, man.
In the opening theme song to the Dukes of Hazzard television show, they say, let's see, I forget the line that precedes it. Blah, blah, blah. It's before the part about fighting the system like a too modern day Robin Hood. But there's that line in the opening theme song to the Dukes of Hazzard where the balladeer, who is Waylon Jennings, says, "Someday the mountain might get him, but the law never will." What is the mountain? And how might the mountain get them? Discuss. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. What is the mountain that might someday get the Dukes of Hazzard? And how will it get them? Thank you. All right, here's what's coming up today. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us from the Hill to talk about, blah to the blah, and the Iraq, and the blah, blah, and the endless war, and the blah, blah, and the never achieving anything, and the blah, blah, and the pointless, and the blah, blah, and the waste of my tax dollars, and blah, blah, blah. And immigration. Won't that be fun? Let's see, what else? Steve Kastenbaum is going to be joining us today to talk about... It's just about the smugness of hybrid owners. They're going to try to paint it as something else, but that's what it's about. It's about people in Priuses who think they're smart. People in Priuses who just come from an Apple store. on their way to shop at the Crate and Barrel somewhere. We have a stunning development in the hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. Now, Sarah wasn't here for this, and we'll talk more about that here in a second. I almost want to recreate the entire thing because you weren't up to speed on it. We have had a stunning development.
Really?
There's scandal that has rocked the world of the second worst story in the history of all humanity. Because we had a vote. We did it on...
Is it still the Bechdel front door?
No. Well, no, that's the worst story. That's why we're now, remember, that's why we're now hunting for the second story.
The second story is like...
crotch ripping. Thanks so much.
Crotch ripping with the wood chipper thing, isn't it?
Weren't they playing a gig with Womb Stretcher the other day?
We have weird jobs.
Hi, we're Crotch Ripper. Thanks for coming out.
Are you ready to rock?
No. I'm just saying, we had a new victor as of Friday. Because it was the German guy who was impaled on the plunger.
We
had a story that surpassed that one. But now there's a scandal that's rocked the world of our hunt for the second worst story. It's there's now controversy, as the Brits would say. So we'll talk about that. Today's top five songs every bar band must know. Top five songs every band in a bar must know. What else? Darwin Watch, Democracy on the March. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian to talk about last night's Entourage and other things now that The Sopranos is over. And I'm officially past The Sopranos, by the way. I think it was Sneathan who sent me this link last night to some guy who's broken down the last 5 minutes of The Sopranos finale, literally frame by frame on his blog with exhaustive analysis and screen caps and details. And I just don't care. I don't care. I know you don't need to prove to me that the guy in the member's jacket, the guy in the member's only jacket shot Tony. I know that. I knew it the first time I watched it. I knew it when I was disappointed the first time. He spends literally like 9 pages with all of this YouTube footage and this screen captures, little frame by frame shots, explaining in exhaustive detail how you can prove that the member's only jacket guy shot Tony. I don't care. Everybody knew that. It's not really the fact that Tony got killed or didn't. It's just that it was done really badly. So quit sending me those things. I'm done reading them. I've moved past it. Let's see. What else? So that's, Peter Carlin. And somebody wants advice about dealing with a smelly coworker. There you go. All right. Dressed in Robin's Egg Blue and back from New Orleans, Sarah X. Dillon joining us today. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Now, here's the freaky thing. You came in this morning and you showed me a bunch of photographs from your trip to New Orleans, including This is why I can never do this. This is why I can never go to New Orleans or go on a swamp cruise. Because Sarah showed me this photograph, and this is not... this is like real distance. It's not like with a zoom
lens.
Real,
that's me holding my camera, like praying not to drop it in the water, my camera phone, hoping not to drop it in the water and taking a picture.
And it's, but it's you, and how far away would you say the crocodile is?
Or is
it an alligator?
I'm not going to exaggerate and say 2 feet. I would say 3 feet from the boat.
But seriously, it's wrong. It ain't right.
It was too close. Too close. At first, it was pretty cool because it was swimming toward us, and the tour guide started throwing marshmallows. Captain Ted.
Yeah.
He started throwing marshmallows at the crocodile or the alligator.
That seems like a great idea.
And so
let's get closer to where these marshmallows come from.
Yeah, and it just kept getting closer and closer and closer. I'm like, wow, this is really neat. It's really neat. I'm scared. I'm going to wet myself. It was right there. And it was huge.
Yeah.
And as soon as they would open their mouth, you know, to eat the marshmallows, because we saw three of them, maybe one more.
I was looking at these photos of the swamp that you took. And again, these are not tourist photos. These are like photos you took with your camera while on a boat. And this wasn't a boat like a big boat with railings and a roof. And
this
is like one of those little swamp boats like you see in the movies.
Yeah, yeah. And Kiki and I actually at one point we were in the middle of this, you know, in the middle of this bayou with trees all overhead. You can't, you know, it's really dark. It's exactly like in the movies. Like there are trees growing out of the water. There are frogs and like turtles swimming around and you can see alligators going in and out of the water. And we realized there weren't any paddles or anything on the boat. If the engine would have died, we would have been just stuck out there.
Yeah, you would have been hosed.
We were in the middle of nowhere. We were in the middle, you know, we had to drive 45 miles outside of New Orleans. We're in the middle of the swamp.
And that photograph, though, of the... and again, I'm sorry, the alligator?
It's an alligator.
Alligator.
Do you want to see it?
That photograph of you, of the alligator, from your perspective on the you know, from the side of the boat. That's what I'm saying. The knowledge of... if you had fallen off, like if you'd sneezed and fallen over, you'd be in that thing's stomach. And I'm not trying to be gross. It's just, it's a fact. That thing would have killed you, eaten you. I mean, you'd be dead.
No, you're
dead.
It's your worst nightmare, Rick. There's snakes in the trees, and we would go through these canals.
Why would you ever want to do that?
And there are these razor grass poking in
to
the boats, and then there are like these really low hanging branches, and he's saying, you know, if I accidentally bump a tree,
you're all gonna die.
Yeah, he's like, if there's a snake on the ground, I'll take care of it. Don't touch it. He's like, if there's a snake on you, it's your responsibility to throw it out of the boat.
Oh yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
When I'm not shrieking like a girl and peeing myself.
Well, there should be plenty of spare help signs around there.
I love the idea that he's going to get the alligators closer by throwing the marshmallows at them. Let me get him closer to the boat.
Oh, he's like some kind of alligator whisperer. He knows them all. It's his own land. It was passed down to his family. They all have names. I guess there's... we didn't see Big Al, who's a 10-foot alligator. I guess the hugest thing ever, almost the size of the boat that we're in.
You've got to stop. You can't see my
boat. And we're sitting here in the third. He's like, well, this is where Big Al usually is. We're in this, like, shallow area where he could have popped up anywhere. I'm like, what are we doing?
And you all can't see this at home, but I am literally jumping up and down like a girl to get rid of this nervous energy that is going through me because I'm afraid it's... water things scare the hell out of me. Sea creatures, and I'm not talking about, like, a kraken or something, but, I mean, there are monsters that live in the water. And other places, too, but I don't care about the other ones.
It was a lot more spiky in person.
The alligator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very spiky, very hard-looking.
Yeah, it'll kill you.
And it was pretty cute because it would roll over on its back.
Yeah, it's really cute. That's really cute, especially when it rolls and, you know, over and over and over again, drowning whatever it is that it's about to eat. That's the cute part.
The little turtles were very cute, too. Uh-huh. They were just little teeny turtles.
Okay.
About the size of, like, the shells are the size of the top of a soda can.
Yeah. All right. I can't. It's beautiful, but I'm glad that you went so I don't have to, because I can't. Lara tried to get me to go, too, and no way.
It's untouched nature. It's exactly how I would have pictured, being in a swamp would be, like, exactly. Right. Like, nothing fabricated. We're just kind of going through this place where it doesn't seem like you should be going.
Yeah.
And then,
you saw the Katrina part, too, right?
The Katrina part, yeah, because we drove.
I'm sure the government's rebuilt it.
Yeah, not so much. There are just huge gaps where places used to be. Everything in the area is either completely broken down or brand new. So they would have all these, you know, like superstores and stuff, and there'd be like a bunch of crappy apartment complexes. At one point, we were driving by and we saw this group of apartments. He said that the water had come all the way up to the top of them. It was like 30 feet high,
right?
And there was help written on the top of it in like this white paint.
Jesus, that's so crazy.
Still haven't done anything with it. Drove through
No, they got the Superdome fixed, though. That's the important thing.
The Superdome, seeing that when we drove in, because that's what we saw when we first drove in from the airport, that was unnerving. I remember seeing people standing on
top
of that.
Totally. It was like Lord of the Flies down there.
Yeah, I didn't like seeing that. And then we drove through kind of one of the more ghetto parts, I guess, and all the X's, all the doors were X'd with numbers on them.
Right.
And a lot of them were just completely empty, and the windows are all broken up.
Where did all those people go?
I think they went to Texas.
I mean, is that what it is? Like, everybody, everybody who lived in whether the lower ninth ward or fifth ward or whatever it was, that place that got killed. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that got run out of their neighborhood by the flood. And they haven't come back. They're not still living in the Superdome. I remember Barbara Bush did her best to kick them back out of Houston. But, all right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification on this Monday.
I have so much stuff here. Clackamas County police lady shoots a guy who came at her with two knives. A teen plows into a house in Southeast. A Hillsboro woman wins a national spelling bee. A car was stolen twice the same day in Yakima. The Everett woman who pretended to be a boy goes to prison as a woman. And Wendy's may go on the block.
God, what a day. What a day. We're also going to launch a new feature in this program. It is auditory birth control with Susan Reynolds. Susan's going to be on today to talk about the latest horrific thing that her lovely child did. So don't miss that. It's around 1:35 today. Auditory birth control with CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds. Oh, I think we got.
What else did I miss?
Thing.
What did her daughter do now?
Oh, you don't even want to know. I only know the punchline. I don't know what led up to it. I know the punchline.
I thought her daughter was grounded still for toilet papering the house and sneaking out.
I'm not really sure how grounding works in that house, but I know the punchline of what the daughter did, and I got to tell you, there are reasons that I don't have kids. One of them is because, as Steven Tyler said, sometimes Mr. Hand becomes Mr. Fist. You know what I mean? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I was calling about the Duke boys thing.
Okay, so what is the mountain that might get the Duke boys, and how will it get them?
Well, someday the mountains might get them, but the law never will.
Yeah.
Mother Nature will take them out long before Whitey does.
I guess Whitey was searching for the Duke boys.
And I met a guy named Whitey.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Was that his first name? Or
yeah,
his nickname?
Either his first name or
you can call me Whitey. Was he a white man?
He was a big business white man.
Okay, all right, just checking.
I bet his home was intact.
Of course. Whitey's home is always intact, Tim. Whitey's home comes armed with a special X-17 invisible force field. So, sir, you believe that the mountain that might get the Duke boys is just the hand of time and the scythe of death?
I do. Hey, I got one other quick thing to add. Like a month ago, I went up to Alaska for a week or so.
Yeah.
And I got to listen to the Alice Cooper radio show.
Oh, yeah, that night with Alice Cooper.
I know you're a big fan, but he's got nothing on you when it comes to holding the audience's interest. No matter what he's done, you kick his ass when it comes to radio.
I've never heard the show. I love Alice Cooper, but a lot of those guys who try to do radio shows, it's not really their forte, as they say. Is it not a very good show?
He picks really good music. I mean, he plays kick-ass music, but it's the stuff in between the songs.
Just as
stuff.
a host, he's not all that.
Yeah.
You know who's good is Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. He does a radio show. That's actually not too bad.
No, I agree.
Right.
Good.
That's interesting you mention that, because I've gotten pitched the Alice Cooper show occasionally, which if we were an FM rock station, I might consider. But all right, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Right on, brother.
All right. I don't buy the explanation, by the way, about the mountain getting the Duke boys. That seems odd.
That seems plausible.
But why would you say a mountain? Why wouldn't you say someday the nature?
It sounds better than nature.
Someday the reaper. Someday the reaper might have get him. Hi, hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you.
I think the mountain's going to take out the Duke boys. Just because they got, a million reasons to go too fast. They're running moonshine. They're going to help a little old lady on the other side of the mountain. I mean, whatever it is, they love to take those corners way too fast. So, you know, they're going to take one too wide and fall off the mountain and take them.
Oh, you believe the mountain is because they'll be speeding too fast. They will not be able to successfully navigate or negotiate a turn. And it's a car.
Yeah, and on those mountain turns, you know they're going as fast as they can just for the pure enjoyment of it. They like the fishtail, the sliding fishtail.
Yeah, and they're probably drunk, too.
But whatever they're doing, whatever they're running, you know, they're going to take one of those edges too wide, too fast, and the mountain's going to take them, especially in inclement weather.
Hey,
could you take me out with the fuzzy signal? I'll sing the end of the Dukes of Hazzard.
All right, thank you.
No good scrap, so.
All right, bye now. Okay. I know. normally don't take people out with something, but I couldn't pass on that one. First of all, I don't believe any of the Duke boys would ever use the phrase inclement weather. But, you know, thanks for that anyway. All right, what am I doing? I'm trying to delete these this spam, and I don't want to be deleted. Rick, the mountain refers to them being buried. Waylon is saying they'll die of old age before they get caught. Okay, so again, we have that it's all about Mr. Death and the reaping. Rick, the mountain is the moonshine culture / life, the moonshine culture. Lifestyle of running stills, guns, dynamite, and hot cars, says David in the southeast. Let's see. Rick, here's a picture of an alligator climbing up the side of a house. No, thanks. Thank you. No. More that it's the lifestyle and the culture and the whatever. Okay, I'm done. We're done with that. We're just going to accept that answer. We're going to move on. We'll break here in a few. Let's see. This is just a recap. So what happened this week? So, first of all, I know I'm the only one in the room who saw Entourage last night. Because you don't have cable yet.
Nope.
You're falling behind. You're falling behind in your own culture.
Cable just bores me. Raul just bought seasons 1 and 2 of Lost, and I've never seen an episode of it, so I think I'm going to start watching that.
You got to let me know what you think about that. Now, season 1 is great, in my opinion. About halfway through season 2 is where me and about half the country got off the wagon.
Okay.
We just said, F this, and we quit watching.
Okay, I'm going to start watching it today.
Once you get into, like, season 2, you let me know what you think, because I value your opinion on these things, and I just don't... I want to know... I mean, maybe there's something I missed, and I know a lot of people are like, you got to do one, and you're losing it. And we didn't get a chance to do our high-concept discussion on Friday about what I should be watching, but you let me know what you think about that. I'm just going to say this. First of all, Lauren and I had this very serious conversation last night about whether to get rid of cable or not, and I don't know where we're going to do it. Largely, and it has to do with ancillary issues, because I also get my internet access from the cable company, and so I don't know if it's like a bundling thing, and if it costs me more, you know, in other words, if I'm basically going to be losing money, in a sense, if I get rid of my cable, if I'm still going to be paying out the ass for my internet access, and whatever. I am going to say this, though. Last night's episode of Entourage was the best episode they have ever had. It was fantastic.
Oh, you think they peaked?
I don't know that they peaked. I mean... I don't know, because peak sort of implies that it's all downhill or that it's going to be bad after that. I don't know that it's going to be bad. But I'm just saying last night was hands down the best episode they've ever had. It was fantastic. And that's their 5 seasons in, and normally shows start to suck after their 3rd season. Buffy, Gilmore Girls, West Wing, just some recent examples. Usually 2nd and 3rd season, X-Files, 2nd and 3rd season are great. And then once the 3rd season is done, that's when they get to the point where they've told all the stories that the filmmakers had. The creators have run out of stories, and they have to start making stuff up or just fabricating implausible situations to try to extend the run of the series. This is now their 5th season. The 5th season opener was genius, flawless. I mean, it was so good. It was so great. I'm not giving anything away, but of course, you know, the Entourage, they're filming this Pablo Escobar movie, Medellin, and they fly, they're in, like, I don't know, like Brazil or someplace, filming the movie. And the first episode is filmed documentary style. It's very clearly modeled on that Hearts of Darkness film, which is a documentary about Coppola making Apocalypse Now, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so there's a guy there filming Vincent Chase and Turtle and Ian, those guys, documentary style, as they film Vincent Chase's new movie. It's so good. It's so good. It really is one of those moments where HBO just rises above, like everything else on television. And you realize that there really is television and there really is HBO. And I don't want to sound like I'm shilling for HBO, though. There really is a difference. Do we own it? Is HBO owned by us? No, that's Showtime. I'm sure Showtime is fantastic, too. No, there is. I was trying to be a team player there for a second, but...
talking about HBO.
Is that... Oh. No, you'd be... Is that Dexter show still on Showtime?
I don't know.
The one that we were ordered to watch? The one that Les Moonves sent us an email ordering us to watch it?
I don't think so.
Maybe. Possible. How sad. Okay. It'll be like Aeon Flux, just relegated to 4 in the morning on a Tuesday. Well, in any event, so, which was followed by Flight of the Conchord, which was ass. That was terrible. That was an awful show. So there was nothing good about that at all. Anyway, what else do I have to get to? And then Scotty and I were... Now, listen to this.
The creepy...
The Portland Teen Idol thing, we have that to get to. But now, see, people are muddying the waters. Rick, in the Dukes of Hazzard theme song, it's not Mountain, it's Lawman. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Someday the lawman will get him, but the law never will. No, you're retarded. That doesn't make any sense. Just cut off your ears. They're clearly not working anyway. That doesn't make any sense at all. Stop it. Is there somebody... Really? Okay, well, we'll get this call in a second. I don't even know... Well, it's just to say this, that Entourage was great last night, that the show that they launched, the replacement series on HBO, have all been terrible. That John from Cincinnati show isn't any good. And Flight of the Conchords, which is this bad, like, Spinal Tap meets Napoleon Dynamite, because that's what we all needed, thing that they launched. See, Tim, did the expression on Tim's face says it all. Why do you need that? Why do you need, like... Napoleon Dynamite characters in a rock band. You don't. It's a terrible show. I mean, I have no problem judging a book by its cover, and that last night really was awful. It was skin-crawlingly awful. Okay, so we have Lisa Goddard coming up at 11:40. Here's the thing. I got to talk about Scotty and I who did this. We did this Portland Teen Idol thing.
I'm so sad I missed that.
Oh, it was interesting. Should we break? All right. Let me take this call, and then we'll break, and we'll come back. We'll probably talk to Lisa Goddard first, and then we'll talk about Portland Teen Idol, for which Scotty and I were judges last night.
So Scotty was like the Ryan Seacrest.
Isn't he always? It's just relentlessly cheery. Never mind, I'm not going to make any. Oh, wait, I'll save my. I made copious notes, though. Final call, and then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, hey, you were talking about canceling. You thinking about canceling your cable, but you weren't sure if you, like, because of your cable internet?
Well, here's the thing. Because I don't have the cable phone, because I know they'd offer that package where it's like your phone and your internet and your TV all for one price of whatever, like $9,000. I don't have that. I have a regular, I just have a cell phone. But I do get my internet and my television both through the cable company.
Yeah, what they'll do is they cut $10 off your internet bill if you have cable. So what will happen is if you stop ordering cable, whatever that costs will cut out your bill,
yeah.
And then they'll just raise your internet by $10. And that's it.
So,
not that that's noticeable, mind you.
Let's just
like hundreds of dollars.
I was just gonna
hidden taxes.
It's just a huge chunk of my paycheck anyway. So let's say, for the sake of argument, I'm paying $100 for cable and internet together. Let's say that that's 50-50 split, although it's probably not. So basically, I would end up paying $60.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's not so bad. There's nothing on television anyway. Who am I fooling?
Oh, really? If you type in the word torrent plus whatever show you want to watch, you can get it off the internet.
I don't know anything about that, sir.
Oh, I heard it from a friend.
Yeah, I don't know anything. That's certainly not how I'm watching season 4 of The Wire right now, which I missed when it was on HBO. I certainly wouldn't know anything about that.
Yes, because doing that would be stealing and
yes.
Wrong.
Yes.
But from what I hear, if somebody was a less moral character, they could do that.
Yes.
And also, yes. I will say with Lost, the first half of the second season,
mm-hmm.
especially watching it week to week, was awful.
Yeah, it sucked.
Especially due to Anna Lucina, or whatever the actress's name was, that was just... But after the first half, it got really good.
All right. Well, maybe I'll go back and watch it, when I have nothing better to do.
You should. You can skip the episodes you already watched, but if you do get the DVD and you watch them all in a row, it goes much more quickly, and it's not like...
That was the problem, is my wife and I watched the whole first season in a day, and then after that, the second season just felt excruciating.
See, I watched it when it was originally on from week to week, but the first season, even if you watched it week to week, it was still tolerable because every episode kind of added something that was kind of good. Whereas in the second season, the first half, there were just episodes where nothing happened. And you could tell they were stalling for time and trying to figure out what to do next.
This show doesn't know. We don't know anything about that on this show. All right. We got a break. Thank you, sir.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Lisa Goddard and what Portland politician sat next to Scotty J and myself at Portland Teen Idol. We'll find out. After this, it's Rick Emerson.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. Raising the curve.
Straighten the curve.
Oh, I thought it was... Never mind.
Someday the mountain lion hit him, but the law never...
never See, that doesn't make any sense at all. Well, whatever. How sad that this Waylon Jennings, like 100 different top 10 hits, this is the song he'll be remembered for. Future generations with, yes, Waylon Jennings. He sang the Dukes of Hazzard theme song.
And nothing else.
Every great artist has this song, too, that hangs around their neck. Johnny Cash has a boy named Sue. Chuck Berry has that hideous My Ding-a-ling song. Do you know that's his only number one single ever?
Modern day Robin Hood.
God damn, my generation's stupid. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show now from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent to the stars. Fashionably attired with a head full of bright, shiny, pointy things. Lisa Goddard, hello.
How about I was in Nashville two or three weeks ago, for the Dukes of Hazzard reunion.
Really? Well, first of all, let's take this one step at a time. What do you mean a Dukes of Hazzard reunion?
You know, maybe they do it every year. I'm not so sure. A girlfriend of mine is getting married, and she is hardcore getting married. I mean, she is the girl. She is doing it all. You know, so the stuff that I don't really want to perhaps sully myself with, maybe, but secretly I kind of feel like I should be doing.
Right.
Living through her. So she had this big bachelorette party in Nashville the same weekend as the Dukes of Hazzard cast was there at the Grand Ole Opry. So we saw them at the Grand Ole Opry.
Who all was there? Now, was it John Schneider, Tom Wolf?
Looking very good, by the way. He looked very good.
John Schneider's kept it together. You know what it is? That's clean Christian living is what's kept him looking that way. He'll be the first to tell you that, too. And he's on Smallville, so I can't totally dislike him.
Right, exactly. Right. He had a guitar, though, and it looked like he was air guitaring with a real guitar.
Well, he was a country artist. He was a minor country artist for a while.
Oh, see, that's what it is, right?
He had in the 90s, he had a few country hits, kind of the John Michael Montgomery type of country. He had a couple of those hits. Tom Wopat, I think, is currently touring in Bethel the Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, really? Because he was not there. I wonder if there's a feud, because he was the only one that was not there.
Yeah, I would like to think that he has some job somewhere, maybe. And then what's his name? Ben Jones, who was Cooter, didn't he? Wasn't he elected something or somewhere to some...
He was a congressman.
How sad. How sad for this congressman Cooter. I mean, I guess it's either sad or it's great. It's one of the two. I don't know.
But the great thing was Catherine Bach was there.
Well, she's still... Now, how did she look, in your opinion?
She looks like... She definitely has gained quite a bit of weight, but she looks like it's not... She looks like it's kind of when people who are on steroids because of some illness gain weight, you know, and it's really all in her face.
It's Jerry Lewis weight.
And she's got... It's almost like she's got a very specific bulge in her stomach area. But her legs look great. She's got sexy bear legs still.
So basically...
Strange. That's what made me think that there might be something else.
So basically, if you were to confine your gaze to only the lower 20% of her body, she would still be acceptable.
She would be hot.
Otherwise, she's... As long as she don't look at her big pumpkin head, apparently.
Yeah, but you can tell she's still got some beauty in her. Yeah. She's still got
inner beauty, Lisa.
And
that's what's important.
The cool thing was seeing like Roscoe P. Coltrane, like those guys were all there.
Roscoe P. Coltrane played by?
Oh, you got me.
James Best.
Oh, nice.
But here's the question everybody wants to know. Was Enos there?
Enos was in fact there.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, okay, wait, hold on. I was wrong about this. Tim Riley is correcting me on this. Tom Wopat was not in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. That was Gary Sandy of WKRP fame. Tom Wopat...
Because totally different.
Tom Wopat was here on stage in Chicago.
Okay.
He was on the cast of Chicago. Gary Sandy was in the cast of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. All right.
Okay, was there.
You know that Enos had his own spinoff show called...
Enos.
Yes. Yes, he did. I don't have it on this computer, but somewhere I have the theme song. I don't know where it is, but it really is just like a lot of Enos. And that's that real.
And apparently Sonny Schroyer, that actor's name.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's failing me now. Boss Hogg.
I don't know.
Moments ago, because he just died. He just died about a year and a half ago. Well, whatever.
I can find it. I'll get it for you.
Doesn't really matter. I'm just going to say, Sorrel Book. Book is his name.
There we go.
I just conjured that up out of my own brain pan, by the way. That wasn't a Wikipedia knowledge. Let me ask you this. Here's the question of the day, and you are a journalist. In the Dukes of Hazzard theme song, they say, someday the mountain might have get them, but the law never will. What do you believe the mountain to be, and how will it get them?
It could be a coal miner reference easily. from that part of the country?
For some reason, when I was a kid, I thought it was a volcano. I guess that's because... well, now, that's not as dumb as it might sound, because I grew up in the shadow of a volcano here, of an active volcano. I grew up, Mount St. Helens erupted and decimated a lot of the Northwest during my formative years. So I, as a kid, when they were like, someday the mountain might get them, I thought, oh, hey, it's like a volcano, like Mount St. Helens, because that was right around the time Mount St. Helens just flattened a whole bunch of places here.
There we go.
So I don't know what the mountain is, though. We've got all kinds of speculation. I have no definitive answer.
I bet straightening the curves is pretty, I'm surprised that you scratched your head at that.
I for some reason, curves in my, because you know how it is, and I don't want to do a dumb misheard lyrics thing, but you know, when you're a kid, you'll hear something.
Right.
And even later, when you logically know that it's different, it sticks with you, the original whatever.
Right.
And so for some reason, instead of curves, I heard girls for some reason. Girls. And I heard girls. And then the rest of it was like straightening the girls, dating the girls. And I for some reason, it's like working backward from an incorrect sum in an equation. I always thought that the final word was girls. And so therefore, that's why I could never figure out the first half, because I had a faulty conclusion in my head.
Oh, see, now it's all clear.
Really, have we spent like 9 minutes talking about this?
What is Dukes of Hazzard, after all?
Does Lisa Goddard, does Laura Caviezel know what we talk about?
I don't.
Does she think we discuss actual news?
Suspects.
What's that?
She probably suspects that it's all akimbo.
Yeah, I talk to her every day. She knows we're kind of kooky.
Akimbo. Fantastic. That's a great word. They're not a word that doesn't get used often enough.
Is it a great word? I'm trying to bring it back. Just this last week, I've been working on it.
Akimbo is fantastic. I believe akimbo to be a slightly more colorful and a sophisticated way of saying cattywampus. All right.
All right. Yeah. So where do you want to jump in here?
I don't even know.
Got the Middle East going. I got Middle East. I got immigration for you. I got energy. Here's the thing.
I'm just gonna sit back and let Lisa do all the work today. You just give me some bullet points on what's happening in this big kooky fading republic of ours.
Okay. All right. We've got the Prime Minister of Israel will be in town tomorrow, and meeting with the President. This comes as, of course, it depends on what you want to call it. The standards people at CNN, I don't think, have cleared us yet to declare civil war going on in the Palestinian territories, but it sure feels like a civil war. Hamas has taken over the Gaza Strip in the south of the country, and then the West Bank, which is a few miles away, is now being taken over by Fatah. So there's this rivalry going on. So meanwhile, the U.S. likes Fatah. We consider Hamas to be a terrorist organization. So just in the last hour, Secretary of State Rice has announced that now the U.S. is changing its policy, and we will remove basically the financial blocks that we have put on the Palestinian government. We've essentially frozen any financial transactions in our banking system they have not been permitted to use our banking system since Hamas took over, actually since before that. And now Secretary of State Rice is reversing that for this Fatah government, which is in the West Bank. So that's the government that has acknowledged Israel's right to exist but hasn't really negotiated yet. So we're trying to essentially prop up that one government, and then of course Israel's prime minister will be here tomorrow. So that's a big hot topic here in Washington right now, what's going on there, how the U.S. is going to handle it. Then we've got the energy debate going on this week. Should actually be very interesting. The Democrats are trying to get a 35 mile per gallon mileage requirement on all cars and light trucks in the United States. I think it would go into effect by 2020, so it's a ways down the road, but the car makers are saying there's no way we can do it. It's going to be a very large debate.
Well, that's plainly a lie. I mean, that's obvious. That's ridiculous for them to... First of all, is the impetus for this environmental or international relations-based? The idea that we got to get 35 miles to a gallon.
It's actually environmental and energy. It's this idea that we can't sustain the current amount of oil that we're consuming. And, in fact, that consumption is growing. And that we need alternate energy sources, and so we need, on the demand side, to bring down the demand for oil. So that's why they're pushing this, but it also is the idea that it would be good for the environment not to be using that energy. But the environment doesn't really gas mileage is better. It's better for the environment to be using less gasoline, but it's not huge. It'd be better to have solar-powered cars.
Well, I suppose. I don't mean, and here's the thing, and I have to preface this by saying I don't care about the environment. So that being said,
likewise, I'm sure.
Really, to be honest, it is in fact likewise. The environment doesn't care about me.
I feel
it. Yeah, nature will kill me the first time it gets the chance. Sarah was in New Orleans for a couple of days, and she has this photograph of her on a swamp boat. She was on one of those little skiffs taking some photos, going through a swamp, and there's an alligator, like, 3 feet away. You think she fell into the water, the alligator would be like, well, I have to have respect for other living creatures. Yeah, man, she'd be on the bottom of a riverbed by now.
Right.
So that, and I don't have children. I'm not going to have children. I have a very finite and limited circle of friends. You know, we'll all be dead of cancer by the time anything serious happens. The environment doesn't matter to me. So that being said,
right?
Here's my thing, and I'm not trying to be flip or overly simplistic about this, but when they constantly say, this is sort of that Alvin Toffler thing, the future shock guy who was like, oh, we're going to run out of resources by 1982 or whenever the hell it was, some date that came and went. We didn't run out of anything. I'm not trying to say that the environment doesn't suffer in some way from what we do, nor am I trying to say there's an infinite amount of petroleum, because clearly they're not. I guess my thing is, I don't understand why they have to get this thing up. Well, we've got to get off the petroleum teat, so that we don't run out and so whatever, because it seems to me that, just keep using it, and it'll run out. And then you'll have no choice. You'll have to do something. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be jerky or confrontational about it, but I mean, keep using it. It'll run out, and you know what? When it runs out, you'll figure out something else. I mean, we'll have no choice at that point.
The trick is that some economists say we're so close to that point where we are consuming more oil than we're pulling out. They call it peak oil, is the idea. That if we don't start, that essentially we're there, and that we have to start getting ready now, because otherwise it will be a catastrophe. That we, let's say the oil runs out, one day, in 2023, and we're like, all right, the oil's run out. Well, on that day we don't have any more gasoline. It's sort of a doomsday scenario of, well, it would take several years to adjust and invent new cars, new ways of dealing with energy for which we use oil now. And what they're doing is they're saying, we got to start now to be ready for that time when the last drop of oil is used up. And then it also does go to a lot of this Middle East situation, that there is a general fear of what's going on in the Middle East, and that the U.S. is too dependent on OPEC in general, and the Middle East in specific, for its oil and for a major resource, and that we need to find other resources so that if that becomes a factor in war, that we don't have to depend on that region of the world for our fuel.
All right.
So it's all intertied. It's all that's why there's such a big push now.
It's
of all of these reasons.
I guess it's just difficult for me to care too much about it, largely because these predictions have always been wrong in the past. Every time. I mean, I cannot list it. You know what it is? It's like those numerology morons who always talk about, the world's going to end on July 6th, 1999. They're never right. All of those predictions are wrong. Every one of them is failed. And every one of these predictions about when the Earth's resources are going to run, those have all been wrong, too.
Well, it's true, but one reason that they're wrong is because we find new ways to suck oil out of places we couldn't get it before. Like in Colorado, there's all this oil that's embedded in rock. And so they're finding these new ways to basically suck out this dense rock that has oil inside of it.
You know, that's why God put the oil there, Lisa.
That's right. Exactly.
God wouldn't have given us the oil if he didn't want us to use it.
With our minds.
Exactly.
Make it more interesting for us.
Real quickly, are we heading to some big, stupid, symbolic, and ultimately pointless showdown on the 4th of July about immigration?
Close to the 4th of July, there will likely be a final vote on immigration. Looks like we could have senators here over the weekend, this weekend, crazy as that may seem, to debate 20 amendments that they'll get. They'll pick out 20 issues that they want to attack. We'll see if it changes the bill at all. And then probably next week we will have some kind of final vote. And I'm not ready to say it's just symbolic at this point. I think they will have a harder time in the House, but I think that there still is a chance. Maybe 50-50 or less, maybe less.
I don't mean
get something passed this year.
I don't mean symbolic in the sense that the bill won't do anything. I mean, but it does seem like it's a little too perfect that we're coming up on the 4th of July.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? That they will structure it so some guy can stand on the steps, you know, and say, like, as our forefathers came here and sought a better life, so too do we speak for those others from the far-flung countries who seek a better life here in God's America. You know, just
Pretty funny is that this shows how much money you would make if you came to Washington.
I know.
Because the way they planned this was they actually planned the energy bill that we were just talking about. They planned that to come to end right around July 4th so they could declare energy
independence from energy.
You know what I'm saying? But immigration bill actually could be a better fit.
Sarah,
and it's just by accident, honestly, that it ended up this way.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, the next time unemployment strikes, you hook me up. You know, you point me toward the DNC or whoever seems to have an open checkbook at that point, and I'll get to work.
All right.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. As always, it's a pleasure. We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you, Lisa.
Great.
All right, there you go, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right. It's noon already, almost.
Flew by.
It really did. To this final, speaking of flying by, let's take this final call. Hi. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Steve?
Oh, not much, man. I'm on the way to the airport right now. I was wondering if you could, I can't listen to the show, but I'm on the way to the airport, and I was wondering if you could play that happy tune.
Yes. Well, can you hear us when you're on hold?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll put you back on hold. We'll play you the song in the break, and happy flying to you, sir.
Appreciate it, man. I'll be back next week.
Thank you. Safe travels, my friend. And by safe travels,
my sheets are red and moist where I'm lying.
Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
God in heaven, teach me how to
Emerson radio program. 502. Look at that. We're a minute ahead of schedule. Back to Ella.
No, it's noon.
Hello. Look at that. We're on schedule. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, I saw Tom Wopat 2 weeks ago in Portland as the attorney role in Chicago the Musical. I sat in the front row and he spat on me while he sang. Signed, yes, I am gay. Rob. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Apparently, Lisa Rinna is also in that show. Who's that? I don't even know
who
that woman is.
That's the big lip.
That could be so many people.
The crazy plastic surgery looking lady that looks kind of like a Muppet, and she might be pretty, but you can't really figure it out. She has the short, dark hair, and she's married to that other, like, B-list actor who was on Renegade.
Oh, wait. I know the guy from Renegade. I don't know who she is now. But when you say crazy plastic surgery lady, I just think of Jocelyn Wildenstein, or whatever her name is, the cat lady.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Kiki went and saw a psychic, and the psychic looks exactly like the cat lady.
Really?
It was nuts. Yeah, we were in some, like, voodoo shop.
I believe I was promised pictures of Kiki in a bikini. I'm pretty sure you said that on
Friday.
I
think I might have some.
I'm not trying to be creepy. I'm simply trying to keep everybody up to speed, because there were many observations made by the listeners that they, too, would be interested in seeing those photographs.
I do have a picture of Kiki and I floating in floats in the pool.
Well, I'm only saying you should pass along what you feel comfortable with, Sarah.
Okay, great.
I don't want to put you out of your comfort zone. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, will you please put your working class hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley?
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So much news here, but first a quick update for Sarah Dillon, who is away. Britney Spears popped into a Beverly Hills nail salon to get a French tip manicure to complement her demure hairdo. And now she has a ghetto/beach has-been look. And she flipped off the photographer.
Fantastic. She's all class.
She is. As for Paris Hilton, apparently she is reading self-help books in jail.
Uh-huh.
So
there's that some wacky radio station somewhere. I guess Britney's threatening to sue some radio station.
Oh, I have that somewhere.
Yeah, because
it's Clear Channel.
Is it? Yeah. Because they're it's some zany morning DJ, and he's using a the picture has
used a bald headed photo of the pop star on Billboard's advertising station's morning show.
Because they're both crazy.
Her attorney claims the Billboard message calls Spears sanity into questions and demand their removal.
Yeah.
The three outdoor advertisements show a paparazzi photo of a bald, snarling Spears with a picture of WFLZ morning show host Todd Schnitt. The ad says, quote, total nut jobs, shock therapy, and certifiable. See, because he's crazy.
Yeah.
I had something else. Oh, Paris Hilton is expected to be released from jail a week from today, but the heiress is not going to receive a warm welcome from her neighbors.
Wait, what? Paris Hilton's due to be at when?
A week from today.
Oh, okay. I thought you said today.
No, a week from today.
Okay, a week from today. All right.
The letter from the neighbors says, since the arrival of Paris Hilton to our neighborhood, we have seen our quality of life deteriorate.
Oh, that is so great.
Last week was intolerable. We have talked to lead officer Sanchez and feel we need to take a united stand. The circus will resume in 2 weeks when she exits jail. Actually, it's 1 week. This is all right. In order to help us, Officer Sanchez requests that we file our complaint in the form of a written email to him.
Now, you know who lives in Paris Hilton's neighborhood? Tom Likas. Because he talks about the helicopters hovering, or hoovering, as my wife would say, over his house, trying to get a photograph of her when the arrest went down.
So these are the neighbors on North Kings Road and Harold Way.
So now is this a thing, like a homeowners association thing? Like, do they have, like, even if you're really wealthy?
Family's getting together, apparently.
But, I mean, they can't kick you out, though, if you're rich as Paris Hilton. There's no, they can't.
I try.
And God bless you for that. So I'm wondering, how sweet would that be if she got out and they booted her out of that neighborhood? Mm-hmm. If they invoked some law that made it so she couldn't live there anymore? That would make me so happy. I would just be satisfied as all get out, as they say. That bald-headed Britney thing, have you seen the stupid billboards, though, that Clear Channel stage is running? They're so bad. Radio billboards. Never mind. You know, because this
We're jealous. This is class envy.
Yes and no, but you know what?
We do have a vehicle.
This is going to lead me down a road I don't want to go down, because it's going to make me... This will inexorably lead me to saying things that I will regret. Not about CBS. I should be very clear about that. CBS...
They treat us very well.
No. CBS treats us very well.
Yeah,
and that's...
Possible.
And I'm not... That is not me blowing sunshine. I think CBS is treating... Fisher was very good to us.
Yep.
But in terms of giving us stuff... In terms of just giving us hard and fast consumer goods, in terms of just giving us physical, tangible things, CBS is the bee's knees, man. They've been very great to us.
True. I got extra Mike and Ike's the other day without even asking. Parts of the White House have just been evacuated.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you cut me off there. I was about to say something else I was going to regret. Anyway, I was just going to say... The radio billboards are always terrible. That's going to be the thing. And I know that you were going to make the observation that we do not have radio billboards. And it's true.
We don't either.
But you know what?
We do better than many of this music stations.
I was
without a dime being spent.
See, it's one of those days I can just tell where there's all kinds of statements queuing up, as the Brits would say, inside my mouth to come out that are just things that are true that I shouldn't say.
Am I stopping you just in time?
I don't know. Sometimes I really don't know what's appropriate and what's not. Sometimes people say that Rick Emerson has no idea. He just doesn't really know when to shut his mouth. And sometimes it's true. I really don't. Let me just say this. I'll put this in the vaguest possible terms. And I'm not trying to, brag as such. Because you know what? Whatever. Sometimes you're up. Sometimes you're down. Sometimes things go well. Sometimes you get fired. Whatever. I'm just
going to... Sometimes you take an 11-month vacation.
That is true. And you know what? I will simply say that really this station, though, and since we're talking about this show, we'll say this show, really, it can be said with accuracy that really there is just a living snot being pummeled out of some radio stations that have lots of fancy advertising and billboards. Said pummeling being done by this very can-do radio station.
We don't have people wiggling their buttocks on TV to try to gain us listeners.
No, this brave little toaster of a radio station is in fact kicking the figurative teeth out of some other radio stations that are very highly funded. That's all I'm going to say.
NBC is courting Jon Stewart.
I'm also. Are you continually trying to get me off this subject before I say something that gets me into trouble? Is that it?
Well, I'm giving you time to think.
I'm also just going to make
that's
this
my role.
This one. you're the news version of the popcorn.
Yes.
I'm also just going to say this, and I'm not going to ascribe this to any particular radio station or any radio company. I'm just going to say. When is the last time you saw a radio billboard that was really well done? When is the last time
And you don't even have to talk about it. If you've seen one, you can just say you've seen one. You don't even have to give a complete answer. I'm just saying radio billboards are always so terrible. They're always bad. You know what I mean? Radio, and I'm thinking of one in particular, and no, I won't identify it, and I hate to be that guy talking about a thing I'm not going to identify. I'm just going to say there's this radio billboard that is currently up in Portland. And you just feel so bad for the people on it because it's just retarded. Because it's just the dumbest looking billboard I've ever seen. And I remember my wife and I were driving down the highway one time and we passed this particular radio billboard. And my wife said, so, you know, are you guys going to get billboards for your station? I said, well, you know, probably not. It's, you know, talk radio is a very, very much a word of mouth thing. And, you know, we have other ways that we promote it. And, you know, we're, you know, there's money being put into the vehicle and so forth. And, you know, so I wouldn't be looking for a Rick Emerson billboard anytime soon or whatever. And she looked back up at the billboard for this, this other unnamed radio program. She said, do those guys know that they look ridiculous? And I said, well, maybe. I don't really know the answer to that. And she thought again, and she said, better to not have a billboard at all. And then that was the last thing that was said about it. And then we just sort of continued driving down the road. Okay, we should be done now before I say anything else. Let's go ahead.
So the White House has been evacuated.
Now, okay, now I know that I just glossed over that by talking about the, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But it's not like it's an independent state type of thing.
No, okay, so why?
We don't know.
Okay, but I mean, there's no reason being given?
No.
Tony Snow isn't out lying and creating some sort of fictitious excuse for it?
More than likely.
All right, okay.
So I'll let you know what happens when we find
well,
out.
Well, so there you go. So the White House, and we just had Lisa Godwin on the phone like 5 minutes ago. Well, what are you going to do? All right, so the White House has been evacuated, so, you know.
What can you do?
So there's that.
These things happen.
It's true.
Back to the local stuff. A Clackamas County deputy fatally shot a guy, but he was asking for it. He ran after this police lady with two knives. The incident began shortly after 3:30 this morning, when they got a call from a payphone, apparently working in Clackamas County, from a man acting strangely in the area of Southeast 82nd. How could that possibly be?
Well, and seriously, what is strangely in Southeast 82nd? He was running around brandishing a bunch of knives.
Yeah.
That really is just, I mean, that's to be expected.
So they saw this man lurking in the shadows, and he is identified as 24-year-old Luke L. Seal. His last known address was in Southeast.
I like it that they don't even need to get general delivery, Southeast. That's like when you deliver something to our friend Seamus, who lives in, it's just Seamus, care of Colorado. You know, he doesn't even have, we tried to send one of my side projects, which I'm forbidden by CBS from talking about. Joni was trying to send him the DVD of that side project, and like he didn't have an address. Like they don't literally, there's no postal service out there. It's like Seamus, Denver. Here you go. And, like, they find him somehow.
Bob Barker, Hollywood, California. That'll get
some. Oh, man, don't even.
Maybe not anymore.
You know, they used to be able to send. Somebody did this back in the day where they sent something to Playboy, and they just put the bunny on the front. And then it got there. They did send it with Alfred E. Newman. They put Alfred E. Newman on the front right there to the Mad Magazine offices. All right, so this guy's address was just Southeast.
Yeah, it's enough.
Okay.
Well, he's dead now. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, but I got to know more about this so we can properly thank the police for getting rid of a guy who clearly needed to be gotten rid of.
Right.
So he was brandishing knives.
Two.
And was he threatening people with them?
Yes, a deputy.
So it wasn't like a...
Well, he was threatening people at the all-night gas station, which we can't have at 82nd. When you need gas, you always think of going down to 82nd.
And
at 2:30 in the morning.
Can I just say that?
That is the best place to get... They have the best gas there.
If there's one place that I make sure that my tank is fully stocked, it's if I'm going to have to be driving... Let's say now, we're going to have to go through Clackamas at some point. Now, before we go, flares... Jumper cable, is the car absolutely full of gas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you don't want to run out of gas on 82nd. It's like running out of gas in St. John's, despite whatever that the bitchy woman who emailed us last week about St. John's. There are certain places, it's like if you're driving through Moab, you don't want to be running out of gas in the middle of Moab. You can't count on friendly Mormons to save you all the time. So, all right, so there you go. So we'll, can you hand me that story?
Sure.
We'll give the Portland police a little shout-out later on.
That would be Clackamas County.
Clackamas. Well, you know, but the thing I've got that thanks the Portland police for getting rid of people who needed it, it only says Portland. I really should have just had it. I should have had it made, you know, where it's just like one for Clackamas, one for St. John's, but, you know, whatever. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, well, he was running at a cop with two knives.
Well, yeah, you got to expect to be shot.
Well, of course. You're running a cop.
Even on 82nd.
I mean, I know, yeah. I know we grade on a curve in certain parts of this city. You know, running a cop with some money, they can't shoot that guy enough. Damn straight. I hope they kept shooting him. All right. Boy. I don't know if I want to take this call or not. This call. Please let me guess Billboard. I'm going to flip a coin. Hold on. Flip a coin here. And I will, we'll play it straight. All right. Heads, we answer the call. Tails, we don't answer the call. Well, it landed on the keyboard. Does that count?
I guess so.
What is it?
It's heads.
Does that take the call or not?
Take.
No.
Take. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, don't worry, because I don't remember who the guys are or the radio station.
Well, of course. I mean,
which goes to show the effectiveness of the board.
Yes.
But it, does it resemble sort of a Batman-Robin theme?
I didn't say that.
Okay, you can check it.
In no way did I didn't say. I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about that.
No, you didn't, but it had to be, because that's the most ridiculous board in town.
Yes, well, you know, I'm sure that someone was paid a lot of money to come up with whatever billboard it is you're talking about. I'm sure there's an ad agency somewhere in Portland that that filled their coffers with that.
Well, I hope they realize that no one remembers who these guys are or what radio station it is.
Thank you for reminding them, sir. I always do like to help my radio brethren.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
A teen driver all intoxicated plows into a house and knocks it off its foundation. Yes, it happened in Southeast.
Of course.
Southeast Tibbetts, to be exact. At 3 o'clock this morning. He should have been out getting gas, but, well. Apparently, Nikolai. Oh, my goodness. This is one of those long Russian names. Take my word for it.
Now, this is one
Nikolai,
of your people, though. You should be able to pronounce this.
What do you mean, my people?
you know what I mean.
They just visited the land of my ancestors.
just long enough to...
Took advantage of the locals and returned.
Long enough to rape and burn.
Yeah, basically. Make them part of their little bean pole, and then they would turn to their...
And it is a little gene pool.
It is, really. Apparently, this 18-year-old is arrested, and he plotted into a house on Southeast Tibbetts. When the road came to an end, Southeast 54th, he drove through a fence and into a home. The impact was so intense it knocked the home off its foundation about 6 to 8 inches. So,
I mean, how fast was he driving?
Doesn't say.
I mean, really, look.
If you're driving,
house in Southeast,
I was just going to say,
you lean up against it on the foundation. It's not so much a house as it is sort of a glorified lean-to. That's a phrase that isn't used enough these days, by the way. People talking about living in a lean-to. Lean-to is one of those things that Huck Finn and Jim lived in. All right.
Lean-to.
All right. So there you go. And the best part is, you know, it's probably easy to put back. You just, you know, get on the other side and just give it a good shove. Goes right back into place. Oh, man. Fantastic. All right.
Give us a little help over here. We'll give you some copper wire.
Well, you know, I didn't even notice. I was thinking about this last night. You know, my dog, when we first got Max, he used to bark all the time at guys who would be coming along, lurking in the bushes in front of my house, rifling through my trash, taking bottles and cans and credit card information out of my garbage. Speaking of which, I got to buy a shredder.
Hold on, I got to make a note to myself. Shredder.
I love my shredder.
You know,
I spent all afternoon yesterday shredding. I just couldn't get enough.
Shredding is deeply satisfying, isn't it?
It is. It is. It makes you feel good. I got to talk to you about shredders later, though, because I have some questions about what shredder to buy.
Anyone will do it. Right?
Yeah, but okay, but here's the thing. Now, is it not true that shredders can be dangerous for the family pet?
Yes.
So
a tail can get caught in one.
And I don't trust myself to always remember to turn it off. So what I would like to find is a shredder that auto turns off if it's not, you know. If it,
well, I turn mine off manually and I fold it up and put it back in the closet.
Oh, see, so okay, that's the thing. So you stash it when you're not using it.
Right.
All right, I guess I could do that. Because I would like one that just, after if it's not used for more than 5 or 10 minutes, turns itself off. Because I know my dog. And he'd be like, hey, there's something tasty in there. Ah! You know, and then I'd walk in and he'd be looking up at me with that dumb look on his face with his tongue caught in the shredder. And then I'd have to take him to the vet. So I got to buy a shredder. Just because there's so much stuff that I got. A, because it's fun. And they got those ones now that do credit cards, paper clips, stapled, and CDs. You can shred CDs now.
Well,
I know, it's not even, it doesn't even seem real. They have them at the whatever, the Fry's. I think our one here in the office shreds a CD.
I haven't tried it.
Wait, hold on.
It's always
full. Can I dial the front desk here?
Sure you can.
Oh.
I think you can.
Let's find out.
Ask if he has
Scotty's going to hang up. Scotty, don't hang up.
Some form line.
Hi. Is this Dave Zinn?
Yes.
Hi, Dave. It's Rick. How are you?
Do you have any more Mike and Ikes up there?
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Hey, Dave, is that a shredder in the office upstairs? Does that shred CDs?
Yes, it does.
Oh, that's fantastic. What about staples?
Well, we could try. I believe it does.
Paper clips?
Sure.
Credit cards.
Yes.
How many sheets of paper at the time?
Let's say 10.
You don't really know, do you?
I don't.
When did you start making things up in this call?
When I first said hello.
Do you know that it does CDs?
It definitely does CDs. There is a picture of a CD on the shredding slot for
okay,
the CD.
How about vinyl?
Will it shred cassettes? Will it shred Edison cylinders? I'm going to go up and shred a CD later on in the show.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dave.
Bye.
There you go, Dave. Anyway, so I got to buy a shredder because, you know, this is bums. Not that bums are going to be engaging in a lot of credit card fraud, probably, but who knows. But when I first got Max, he would just bark all the time. Hey, there's a guy in front. There's a guy in front. There's somebody rifling through your trash. There's somebody lurking. I didn't even notice anymore. Last night, I'm sitting there watching The Wire on the TV, and I hear this, you know the sound. I can't duplicate it with my mouth. I'm not like that bird. But, you know, the trash can opening, bottles being moved around, and then we've got motion sensor lights on the front of the house, which they installed after my truck was stolen for the third time. The motion sensor lights go off. Seriously, if I like, Laura goes to bed around 9. She's an early rise. I'm up till, like, midnight usually. So there's, like, 3 hours where I'm just sitting on the couch doing whatever, reading, you know, watching TV. In that three-hour period, those motion-sensing floodlights, which you have to be within, like, 4 feet of my front door for them to go off, those things go off, like, 5 times probably a night. I mean, 9:30, bam, lights go on. 9:45, bam, lights go on. 10 o'clock, bam, it's like somebody trying to escape from Alcatraz. The lights just go on. Dog doesn't even notice anymore. Max doesn't care. He doesn't even respond. So that's why I need to be shredding, and that's what life is like in Southeast Portland. All right, Scotty, well, I'll let you screen these calls before I take them. Here's Tim Riley.
So more about that bomb scare at the White House.
Now, you never said it was a bomb scare.
Didn't I?
No, you just said it was evacuated. I thought it might have been aliens.
All right. No, it's a bomb scare. Not like out of Independence Day. Like
all right.
Well, the government building near the White House was ordered evacuated, apparently due to a bomb scare. This is because the Israeli prime minister is there. He is staying at Blair House on Pennsylvania Avenue across from the White House. The evacuated building was the White House Conference Center, which is around the corner. The conference center temporarily houses the White House press corps during a renovation of the West Wing. Also, they moved the press corps, too. How would I know?
I don't know the answer to that. Rick, 82nd is the Florida of Portland, by the way. No, that is absolutely true, sir. Let's see. Rick, the solution to the shredder dog problem is not to buy the one that shreds small dogs. Yeah, get this thing. It doesn't have the picture on the front of a schnauzer or whatever. All right. You know, can I just say this real quickly? And I don't want to sit and do a lot of dog talk. But, you know, there's a woman who works here who brings her dog occasionally to work. And it's a border collie.
Yes.
That dog is like crazy, scary smart. Are border collies just known? And I know that we're doing dog talk, so just, it'll be over in like 10 seconds. Are border collies just known to be a really smart breed of dog?
Yes.
That dog makes me feel so embarrassed of my dog. My dog just seems so dumb. Because while Max is just sitting there, like, you know, eating a box of Staples or something, you know, and like looking for chocolate, you know, and bumping into things, that dog is like over in a corner doing math problems or something. It's unreal. It's like that dog from that Dean Koontz novel, Watchers. It freaks me out, man. It's not right. So, all right. Well, in any event, what are these people calling about?
Oh, let's ask.
Just filled with dread sometimes when I pick up these phones. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I was just curious. Did you get your 4Runner back?
Yes, all 3 times.
Hey, I was just curious. I think I spotted you on the freeway. Are you still missing a side window?
No, I was never missing a side window. I was missing my seats. The last time they returned it, the guy said, "We found your 4Runner. No seats in it." And then I had to, when a friend of Sarah's actually was nice enough to install some seats. No, I was never missing my window. I was missing some seats and missing the whole vehicle 3 times. But not the window, sir.
I was just curious. I never heard.
All right. Well, thank you for attempting to stalk me, though. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll get the rest of these. Here's Tim Riley.
Here's a double Darwin watch.
Here's your Darwin watch, a double one from Monday. Right here on this, the Rick Emerson Radio.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't! I need all my cap.
Don't!
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Here. Oh, my heart.
just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
From Kent, Washington comes word a 17-year-old boy who couldn't swim drowned at a party at Renton High School for graduates at a lake retreat near Ravensdale in King County. The sheriff's office said a few of the teens decided to go to the old swimming hole last night, and the victim jumped out of a raft. The others didn't realize he couldn't swim.
But he presumably realized he couldn't swim, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of thing that you know. Wait, hold on. Did I ever take swimming lessons? No. Maybe I'll jump out of the raft anyway, now that I'm...
Is he drunk?
It
doesn't say.
Well, you know, high schoolers today.
That's true. And then he started flailing in the water. One of the boys tried to pull him up, but lost his grip. He was found about 20 feet from shore. Attempts to revive him failed. It was the night before the graduation.
That seems like a pretty binary scenario there. One either knows how to swim or one does not. If one does not, you don't jump out of a raft in the dark in the middle of the river. I mean, for the love of Christ. Well, you know. As somebody once said, the kid who swallows too many marbles doesn't grow up to have kids of his own, you know? So, all right.
One day after a drag racing car careened into a crowd and killed six people, witnesses wonder why the driver was allowed to speed down a highway with no guardrails, lined on both sides with hundreds of spectators. It ain't really safe to do anything with drag cars on the street, said that 19-year-old Garrett Moore.
Would you read that quote one more time?
It ain't really safe to do anything with drag cars on the city streets.
No, it ain't.
They shouldn't have been doing it.
The great thing about this story is there's 2,000-pound cars made of steel and glass going at upwards of, 120 miles an hour down the road, lined with hundreds of spectators who are getting as close to the cars as they possibly can as they go by. No railing, no fencing, no...
This is Tennessee.
No, warning tape. Not even so much as a little chalk line, like, hey, you might want to stand beside this. The name of the event? You have the name of the event there?
I'm looking here.
Cars for Kids.
Cars for Kids.
That's exactly what it was.
One of the spectators describes what he saw.
I saw bodies flying both vertically and horizontally, and then finally the car hit a power pole right in front of the Sonic sign, which at that point the car came to a complete stop.
Really? When it did it now? Okay.
Cars for Kids have been going on in Selma, Tennessee for years without any problems.
I've been the chief there 10 years. I know it's been going on that long. And it's just been a safe event up until this year. We've had a tragic accident, and it's been so good up to this year, and we just had this accident.
It'll be back next year.
No need for fencing. No need to install any railing. You just, maybe Jesus will help you make it safer.
So the crash occurred during an exhibition burnout when a drag racer spins his wheels to make them heat up in smoke in front of the crowd at the Cars for Kids charity event.
I think we've got a new charity.
The car's engine was revving loudly before the vehicle sped down the highway. After a few hundred feet, the smoking car skidded off the road and into the crowd.
Well, who could see that coming? All right. There you go. There's your double Darwin watch. We'll take a break. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.
Another one bites the dust.
Fantastic. That was wonderful. Sarah just totally was putting on, was that mascara, eyeliner?
No,
what was that?
It's my eyeliner.
And you totally missed your eye, and it was all over the side?
It's still all over my face.
And I had that I talk back look. All right, 503-7. Speaking of the I Talk Back look, we want to give thanks to our good friend Storm Large, who gave us big props in the liner notes to her new CD, which is fantastic. Thank
Best
you, Storm.
Best album cover ever.
Thank you. See, when I say it, it sounds creepy.
No, that is, it's amazing. I didn't even think it was her. I just saw that line. I'm like, that's a really cool picture.
It's Storm looking hot and beautiful with a huge black eye. Hot as balls.
Yeah, you're right. It does sound creepy when
you say it. That's what I'm saying. Have you seen that quote?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was playing Pictionary.
Is that a game?
It matches you against seven alphabet-loving hands. The more you spell, the more words fill up the Pictionary's egg rack.
Never mind.
Well, you're trying to outspell these hands. And they're alphabet-loving hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I spend my spare time.
Okay. 503-733-2970. I did not get to see Storm's performance this weekend.
Oh,
I'm not.
Okay, I can't continue. Okay, what now? You have to tell me now. What is the deal? Is it a spelling bee against a computerized hen?
It's several hens.
Oh, I'm sorry.
These are alphabet-loving hens. Seven of them. You choose from a roost full of letters and pick out as many words as possible. The more you spell, the more words fill up the chictionary egg rack.
It's boggle against a series of computerized chickens.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I don't have time to play right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I was talking about. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a Roseburg woman got the surprise of her life, but she found a dead man in her front yard. The woman lives in a duplex. She called 911 to report a man she didn't know was sitting in her lawn chair.
Well, oh, Weekend at Bernie's style dead.
Well, when police responded, they quickly realized the fellow was dead. The 46-year-old man had been staying at Roseburg Rescue Mission, if there is such a place.
They didn't do a very good job of rescuing him.
His identity is being withheld until his family is notified.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure his family.
He died in a lawn chair in Roseburg.
I'm sure his family is all kinds of concerned about him. His family clearly takes a great deal of interest in his welfare. Where's Granddad? I don't know. Wasn't he at the rescue mission?
Maybe.
Is that him dead in a lawn chair in Roseburg?
Could be.
What's on television? Yeah, the family's clearly, they're going to be all over that.
All right. Oh, boy, there's been a rollover on I-5 near Southwest Willinger Boulevard. So that's going to be a mess.
Rollover?
I barely knew her.
I've just been waiting to use that. It wasn't even very good.
That's that.
All right.
Oregon State Trooper crashed his patrol car in the back of a semi early this morning, but he survived without serious injuries. The trooper's patrol car got jammed under the back of the semi, and he was dragged 2,000 feet.
Sort of like the inverse of that wheelchair guy.
Mm-hmm. The semi-truck driver suddenly changed the lanes in front of the trooper as he intended to overtake a high-speed driver.
This is car 5-5. We're in a truck.
He was clocked at 97 miles an hour. As he reached to catch up with the speeder, the semi switched from the right to the left lane, forcing Walker, the policeman, to slam on his brakes. Trooper Walker braked, slowed down to approximately 65 in his patrol car, crashed into the back of the semi, and became tangled underneath it. He was, the patrol car was dragged 2,100 feet. The trooper was wearing a seatbelt, and he had minor injuries. And the truck driver wasn't hurt.
It's got to be tough to be any kind of a cop with the name of Walker, because you just got to get all kinds of, all kinds of jag-offs. We're going to be Walker, Portland Ranger. It's 503-733-2970.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens in Homeland.
George. Hello, George.
Rick, you're speaking my language. I have an almost unnatural relationship with my shredder.
Okay.
I suggest you go to Costco and get a Fellows Power Shred DM-15C.
Now, Scotty J has been good enough to bring down our shredder from upstairs. This is the Office Max.
Hold on. Well, it doesn't even say. It's just the Office Max something or other.
That means he paid twice as much as he should have for it.
Okay. That's your assessment, sir.
Yes, sir.
So it does shred CDs, credit cards, but despite what Dave Zinn claims, it does not shred hands. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Apparently it does, but you shouldn't. It doesn't shred paper clips, and I swear to God,
salespeople,
there's an icon that appears to indicate that you should not put cans of spray paint into this. I don't know what this icon means.
That icon means don't spray oil into the slot there.
Well, why would I do that? That's
Well, they do want you to lube it up first. Anyway, yeah. You should make sure yours has a minimum 15-sheet capacity. Mine shreds paper clips, CDs, credit cards.
Well, this doesn't even say. How am I supposed to know?
It has little icons on the front. Well, that's why you should go to Costco, my friend.
We should do one at a time until it jams.
Yeah. And
I have an old credit card.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, this will do 20 sheets. Fantastic.
Oh, man. I've been out, man.
Uh-huh. All right. Hold on. Let me see. Where can I plug this in? Give me just a second. Hold on.
I need to make sure this is the old one and not the replacement.
No, just pick any credit card.
Okay. I'm pretty sure this is the old one.
Hold on, I'm going to plug this in.
This is exciting.
Finding a power strip over here. All right.
Gripping radio.
Shut up.
It is.
Yeah, it's thrilling.
Shut your mouth.
We're going to end up at a billboard doing this.
Are they going to draw?
You can be Batman.
Oh, and now it doesn't go into the... Now it's just...
All that for nothing.
Seriously, it doesn't reach. It doesn't,
How can yours do 20 and mine can do paper clips and only do 15?
I don't know. It's all very perplexing. I wonder if they just make that up. Well, why? Here's what I don't understand. Why could it do CDs but not paper clips? And If it can't do paper clips, can it do staples? It doesn't say anything one way or the other about shredding staples.
How many shreds per session? Mine does 4,500 shreds.
Well, how would I even know that?
Well, mine, I found out the hard way. It can only run mine for 7 minutes until it overheats.
How did you find out the hard way? What happened?
Well, I was running a whole bunch of crap through it, and after 8 minutes, it melted down temporarily. The thermometer, that's the temperature gauge on it.
Yeah.
It's sky high.
Oh, wait, I don't have a temperature gauge either.
Yeah, and so I've learned that it's like some kind of James Bond thing where I can only run it 7 minutes every hour, so I have to be very hasty.
All right. Boy, you know, I think CBS really got screwed here. It seems like they really bought the wrong... Well, there is some sort of... there's like an LCD readout here, but I'm unclear as to what it does, if only I could find some place to plug this in.
Well, what you want to look for is the 15-sheet minimum at least, and also they have these new stupid sensors for idiots that if you get your hands near it, it'll shut down automatically, which seems to kind of...
How does it know if your hands are near it?
I don't know.
That's freaky.
That is kind of weird. Yeah. I guess somebody managed to get their tie down.
That's so great. That's wonderful. You know what that reminds me of? This is my only good food preparation accident story. I had a Pietro's pizza one time, and there are damn few of those left, unfortunately. But there was a Pietro's in my hometown, still one of the finest pizzas ever. And there's this thing they grate the cheese in, and it's basically like a garbage disposal, but it's in the middle of a countertop. So imagine a big stainless steel countertop, and in the middle of it is just a hole. And you dump the cheese into the hole. You just, like, you'll grate it or get into small chunks. You'll sweep the cheese into the hole that's in the middle of the stainless steel counter, and inside is a huge whirly blade, cuts all the cheese, and then you take the little basket or whatever out of the bottom, and the cheese is all in there. It's all shredded. So the manager, when I was like third grade, they're taking us on a tour of the Pietros, and the manager's all like, so anyway, as you can see, what you do is you sweep the cheese into the... And he leans over too far, necktie, down into the hole, right into the little thing, and it started pulling his head down into it. Clearly would have just snapped his freaking neck, because it was just pulling his tie into the thing against the stainless steel counter, and they had to do some manual shut off, and they had to cut his tie to get him out of there. It was great.
Power to the workers.
Seriously, that thing would have killed him. It was fantastic. It was traumatic and wonderful. All right, well, we'll shred some stuff later.
Yeah, get thee to a Costco.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, bye.
All right, here's Tim Riley. Okay, thanks, bye. Here's Tim Riley.
The woman who posed as a boy and molested a teenage girl will get a year in jail for child molesting.
Oh, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at this email.
Lopez apologized to Snohomish County Superior Court for the harm she caused the girl. And Copas was arrested in April after a traffic stop, and people find out that, well, she was a he, you know, or he was a she.
And, you know, and she was the least, wait, and she was a girl pretending to be a boy?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe boys are just real ugly in that. Where was this at?
Everett. And, well, you would be correct.
Yeah.
As well as girls.
I was going to say, maybe it's not so much boys. Maybe
all humanity.
Yeah, so I guess maybe, again, grading on a curve, I suppose, maybe. Maybe she looked rather fetching. Who knows? Who's to say?
Or Lori.
Yes. All right.
Well, a Hillsborough woman has won a national spelling bee. An administrative assistant at the Pacific University in Forest Grove correctly spelled...
What language?
English.
Okay.
Baharal. That's a goat-like animal found in the Himalayas. To win the national senior spelling bee in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
In Wyoming?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm still distracted by trying to find a place to plug in the shredder.
There has to be another outlet.
Seriously, I know. I'm only asking this because, really, somebody from Hillsborough winning a spelling bee in Wyoming.
Yes.
I mean, really, is this like some sort of a farm league?
Someone from Woodinville, Washington. Susan Hartner of Hillsborough beat Randy Hipman
of
Woodinville, Washington, who misspelled Vizsla, which is a breed of Hungarian hunting dog.
Must be like a double-A league or something.
Hunter said she was stunned. She always anticipated winning but didn't think she could once she heard the words. 75 people participated in this year's spelling bee. For winning, Hartner gets a plaque, $100, and a paid trip to the CBS Morning Show, whatever that is. The bee is open to anyone 50 years and older.
All right. Okay, I think I've got this. Okay.
Be careful.
We hope that's a place to plug it in.
All right. Who wants to shred something?
I do, but I don't know what.
I do. I want to shred my old credit card.
Okay, well, come over here. And
okay.
Get this ready. All right. This is fantastic.
It is.
I don't know. I hope this is the right one.
Now, let me just... Well, how would you know, though? I mean...
This needs to be on a...
Has it expired?
No, my sister lets her, she gets drunk and leaves her purse places, and and she left it on the table when she was singing karaoke, and her credit card got stolen. Ours are connected, so I had to cancel it. Yeah.
Okay, well, come over here.
I'm pretty sure this is it.
So this is, Laura and I went to, Office Max, Office Depot or something, and we were so overwhelmed by the variety and the choice of shredders.
That kind of scary.
We didn't even know what to do.
There's enough light over here.
It's just, hold on. I got to put the mic. No.
Just reach your hand right down in there. Hold on.
Make sure it's on?
I'm putting the microphone down in here. All right.
Can I just stick it in like that?
Stick it right in.
Okay.
But not in the paper slot, in the TV slot, I think.
Okay.
You want me to do it?
God, no.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Ooh, let's just suck that down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Try another one.
I hope that was the right one. Let's shred everything.
Let's, wait, hold on. What have I done? Here's Tim's note about Tom Wopat.
That's a story we're reading later.
Oh. Not anymore.
No, darn.
You're going to read it in small pieces. You'll read it one letter at a time.
We'll have Scotty put it back together.
Here's the Omzi Body World flyer.
All right.
It's pretty thick.
Then we got to quit shredding for now.
Okay.
All right. So great. Okay, but here's the holy grail, though, is we got to find a CD to shred. Oh. What do we have that we couldn't possibly care less about listening to?
Well, there's a radio station across the hallway that nobody's in.
Oh, there's something back here.
I'm sure they use their CDs constantly, mm-hmm. Tim.
I'm sure they do.
What's a CD that couldn't possibly mean less to us? What's a CD that we will have no earthly reason to play ever again?
I have Lucas Rothy over here.
See, I was setting it up just so you could say that, but let's not shred that.
You liked the song.
No, I liked the song, and you were being kind of snarky about him before the show.
Being snarky about him. I'm just saying when I saw him, he was drunk and rude. That's all.
No, he was, well, he...
And he seemed kind of just vacant.
I believe he's come around. I think he's learned the lesson of being polite to folks. That's all I'm saying. Because, to his credit, he seemed like a nice guy when he was here on Friday. All right, well, we'll find something. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's probably at another pizza joint tonight.
That was Tim's coming. Wasn't he playing at a pizza parlor?
Not if there's anything wrong with that.
No. And I got to say, and in all fairness, and I'm not just blowing smoke, the song that we played off his CD was really nice. Don't shred those Dr. Demento CDs.
I'm not. I'm just looking.
All right. And this email says, about the hand, maybe the shredder can detect the sounds of human screaming, so it shuts itself off. One day they're going to turn on us Maximum Overdrive style. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, there's this one Honda Accord the thieves may want to avoid. The car was stolen twice in one day in Yakima County.
Really?
The car was stolen near Teton.
Teton.
A detective in an unmarked car spotted it in Terrace Heights as it was racing another Accord. The detective gave choice of losing one of the Hondas when the pair split up. He followed the other until the driver abandoned it. Then the detectives chased the driver on foot till he kicked in a door to nearby residence and went inside.
In Yakima.
They found a 21-year-old Yakima man in the home and arrested him for stealing a car. Meanwhile, another man got behind the wheel of a freshly abandoned Honda Accord and stole it. This is the same car. The man, the 22-year-old from Sunnyside, also abandoned the vehicle a short distance when he realized it had a flat tire.
Oh,
he was also arrested. They're also looking for the other Accord involved in the racing incident. They have the license plate, and that, too, was reported.
Let me just say this. First of all, there's nobody hot in Yakima. Second of all, Sunnyside really has churned out some hot girls, though. I knew some hot girls from Sunnyside. I don't know what that's all about. When I was on the debate team, there were some hot girls from Sunnyside. Yakima, though, is just a hellhole. Yeah, no disrespect to anybody who's from.
I thought that was the Palm Springs of Washington State.
I think they call it that. I almost took a job there. At KATS, Cats FM, which is just, when I was growing up, that was like it was like working at KROQ. That was the WFAN of the Northwest, working at Cats FM in Yakima. I think at one point they actually offered me the morning show there, and I think I was like 17. I don't even think I was out of high school yet. We like your style. Would you like to be a morning drive host? And that's when I realized that maybe even at that young age that I could do better than Yakima. The fact that they were willing to hire me there for the morning show. So, all right. Oh, wait, there's a shredding call. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, you got to go to YouTube since you're on this big shredding kick.
Yeah.
There's this place, I think it's called, like, Industrial Shredding Systems or something, but they've taken these like, dumpster-sized shredders.
Oh, is that where they shredded, like, a car?
They shredded, like an 85 Dodge Daytona. It is the most amazing thing I've seen.
I saw that. I saw that on the YouTube where they shredded a car. It's sort of akin to Have you seen those YouTube videos where the guy blends things?
Will it blend?
Will it
that
blend?
Is the question.
And it's like blending a cell phone, blending a brick. That was the one I saw.
The one where he blends marbles is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
This dusty, marbly glass, which I'm sure shreds your lungs.
This is really a golden time to be a dude, because there's just so much great guy programming, like that Mythbusters show.
It's amazing.
Mythbusters the other day, and they were talking about this urban legend, as it turns out, where during World War II, machine gun barrels would get so hot that Japanese soldiers were able to cut through them when they would come over a hill. They would be able to cut through an American, you know, machine gun barrel because it was so hot. But it seems silly, but to test it, they had this huge robot that would fire a machine gun for like 40 minutes and get it like 2,000 degrees, and then another robot that would swing a samurai sword at it with like superhuman strength. It was the best show ever. And I sat there for like an hour watching it thinking, God damn, I love this country. I mean, yeah, Will It Blend is great. That stuff is great, and those industrial shredding videos are fantastic.
The host for Will It Blend, he's the guy who actually does the blend. It's the
like
blending Tom or something.
Yeah, it's like some old Mr. Wizard dude.
I got my kids even saying me, Will It Blend? That is the question.
And that's a bit, I wish I'd thought of that. I know we're a radio show and so forth, but there's all kinds of bits I wish we'd thought of. So that I could just, so that I could do them. Because I know that and I feel bad about stealing stuff most of the time. So I won't steal that. But it's a great, great bit. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
God bless you. I will say this, Marconi, who works across the hall, does the afternoon show, KUFO.
Yeah.
I will say this. He has this one great, I'm not saying he only has one great bit, but I'm saying he does this, there's this one thing he's doing that I really dig. And I don't really listen that closely, but I'm pretty sure he's doing some sort of NCAA face-off type thing where he's trying to find. And as I say this now, part of me is hoping that I've gotten this wrong, because if I've gotten it wrong and he's not doing this, then I'll totally do it. But I was listening with like one ear or the other. I was in the kitchen. I was microwaving something. And I was listening to Marconi because it was on and the radio was on. And it seems like he's doing some NCAA face-off thing where he's winnowing down and trying to find, like, the Portland chick with the hottest voice. Is that a thing he's doing?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, I'm sure someone knows. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
A toddler has been served a margarita at Applebee's.
Toddler? Is this Doyle Redlin? A toddler has served a margarita in a sippy cup.
Yes, his 2-year-old Julia Magoya, his mother Kim, noticed that Julia was making funny faces and pushing away his cup. She'd ordered apple juice for the youngster, but when she opened the lid, she smelled tequila. The toddler grew drowsy and began to vomit a few hours later and was rushed to the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Keeping rushed to the hospital, but the toddler was drowsy and began to vomit. That's just a funny phrase.
Applebee's vice president said the restaurant keeps apple juice and pre-mixed margarita stuff right next to each other behind the bar.
in identical containers.
It was the manager on duty who mistakenly grabbed the margarita bottle instead of the apple juice
jug. It looks just like Skinny and Sweet. A little 9-to-5 reference there. I've told you, did I mention this story on the air? How like a couple days in a row, I've almost taken dog vitamins.
You said once.
It's happened several times now.
Oh, no.
Well, because my dog's getting old. It's very sad. I don't like to think about it. But, and I know younger, smaller dogs live a little longer than larger dogs. So,
smaller dogs live a lot longer than larger dogs.
And they all go to heaven. But my dog is, he's getting up there in years. And he's, we're having to think about those things, which is sad. For his joints and the bones and stuff, they have a supplement that they want us to give him like once every few days or whatever, to, like, keep his bones from snapping in half or whatever. Because he'll like jump up under our bed. We haven't bought stairs yet. We got to buy some stairs.
Oh, you need those? Yeah.
Yeah, because he.
Oh, that's cute.
Well, because he jumped, because our bed is really, we have a big bed. It's not like a big four-poster, but it's high. Our bed is really high off the ground, and he doesn't know any better. And he'll jump off the bed one of these days, and he's going to land wrong, and he's just going to mess up one of his legs. And so we got against the stairs. In the meantime, though, he's like, "Well, you got to give your dog these supplements. It'll keep his bones strong."
I saw dog stairs in Sky Mall.
No, they're great. Well, they haven't. I mean, it makes me sound like a douche. But what are you gonna do? I want my dog to jump off and snap his femurs. So, they gave us these like dog vitamins, and they're like, give him these like twice a week, and it'll keep his joints from falling apart or whatever. And of course, like an idiot, where do I keep them? Right next to my daily vitamin, because we kind of keep all of our pill bottle stuff in the same place. Like, I swear to God, like 3 days in a row now, I have just, because it's pre-caffeine, I've just woken up, I'm like, daily vitamin. And they both got the childproof lid, the bottles are the same size, The pills, you feel the same. The tactile sensation is the same. Put them in a pan, and every day, it's as I'm lifting it to my mouth, and I look down and I go, you know, it's going to happen, though, one of these days. Three times now, I have almost taken my dog vitamin in the morning. So that's, I don't know what would happen to me. Presumably nothing. I would just feel stupid. So, it's like that time when you're a kid and you'll get one of your cousins to eat a milk bone because, you know, they'll think it's a cookie. Everybody's done that. Here's Tim Riley.
Calling his actions, quote, nothing short of a fiasco. A North Carolina state bar revoked Durham County District Attorney Mike Nipon's law license over the weekend. A three-member disciplinary panel made the ruling Saturday after finding Nipon
in your face
violated several rules of professional misconduct during the Duke lacrosse investigation. Mike Pressler, the former lacrosse coach at Duke, says that's not enough.
No, I don't think it's enough. He has to continue to face, I think, the justice system here and have it go even further. And we believe, you know, there's obstruction of justice here.
One of the students got in the web of the lacrosse rape case says he feels a great weight has been lifted from his shoulders.
Absolutely. I mean, it's probably something that you'll never get over.
Yeah, I mean, these guys all kind of seem like douches anyway, but I mean, you know, but that's just my jock bias showing. But you know what? But this Nipon guy, he really should be beaten with a hammer. Rick, I think the Clackamas man who ran a police should have been a Darwin watch, too. That was either a spectacular example of stupidity or police-assisted suicide. I think when someone is brandishing a knife on each hand and running at someone, that should now be called a Southeast hug or perhaps a Clackamas embrace. I like your thinking outside of the box. Hey, bastard, says this email. Best audience ever. Hey, bastard, where the hell is hour two on the website? And then in all caps, fix it. Yeah, Scotty, fix that. All right. Well, I don't know what else to talk about right here. So we'll just continue with the news because I'm out of pithy statements. Here's Tim Riley.
Apparently, Al Roker made some kind of joke about epilepsy on NBC's Today program.
Really?
And it's not enough for a group of online petitioners. More than 450 people have offered up their signatures to an internet appeal calling for the Today Show weatherman to be fired. You know, he still worked there, Al Roker.
Epilepsy.
Using words descriptive of seizure-like symptoms, Roker joked on the June 7th edition of Today about whether respondents to a poll about a controversial Olympic logo would be capable of answering the online survey.
A little update on a story we told you about yesterday. Remember that controversial Olympic logo for the 2012 Olympics in London? Well, some folks have complained that the campaign actually sent them into epileptic seizures. Others say it's just downright ugly. Well, we asked you to weigh in on our website in an informal poll. And those of you who could get up off the floor after shaking around, you were able...
Epileptics don't have enough clout in this world.
Epileptic jokes aren't funny, Tim. I seize your point there.
Mm-hmm. There are 2.5 million epileptic people in the U.S. And they're very unhappy with Al Roker.
Epileptic's favorite food?
Milkshake.
Seizure salad? Oh, you're a bad person.
No, I have epileptics in my family. I can make that joke.
Oh, so do I.
All right.
I have plenty of friends. I have plenty of friends who are.
I wouldn't want my sister to marry one, but, you know, I've had them in my home.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not. All right.
During a recent campaign swing through California, candidate Senator John McCain says he agrees with former Secretary of State Colin Powell, who knew that he was still speaking publicly, that Guantanamo Bay Prison should be closed.
I agree that we should close it. We can move those detainees to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Lebanon.
And a symbol that is harmful to the image of the United States of America in the world would be removed.
File him under I for increasingly irrelevant. There's just no way he's going to win anything. Not going to happen. Hey, I didn't ask Lisa Goddard about this. You see this thing about...
I did not.
this thing about Hillary Clinton? New York, listen up, Scotty. Oh, listen to this. Remember that guy who said, hey, bastard, where's hour two? Fix it. Mm-hmm. Scotty, here's an example, by the way, for you burgeoning radio kids of how not to treat your audience. Scotty types on the screen, it's there, idiot listener. That's Scotty who said that, by the way, not me. Hey, Scotty J., listen up. New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton has regained a double-digit lead over Senator Barack Obama. In the USA Today Gallup poll, 2 weeks after the survey found that they were essentially tied, Among Republicans, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani remains ahead, but Fred Thompson, for the first time, edges into second place over John McCain, who's not going to win anything. Blah, blah, blah. The money, as everybody knows. But yeah, so Hillary Clinton now has a double-digit lead. She leads by 39 to 26. Guess who's in third place, Tim? John Edwards.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Who looks hideous, by the way, when he's not when he's not prepared, when he's not carefully coiffed. Mm-hmm. Looks bad. 13%. So, there you go. So, it's going to be Hillary. And everybody just needs to get used to
President
that fact.
Hillary.
Scotty, just start saying it. Just practice it. Just because it's going to take you a good year once she's elected to start saying it. So just start saying President Hillary Clinton. Just see if your mouth will form the words. Just President Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah. Really? Do you want to play? You going to make a little wager on that? All right, you let me know. Well, we'll talk. Well, Scotty and I got to talk later anyway, because we got to talk about the whatever.
I want to hear about those promising guns.
Oh, man. You don't even know. I made so many notes about that. Well, then we should break here. Well, let's do one more, and then we'll break. Then we'll come back. We got Steve Castamon coming up. We'll talk about PDX Teen Idol, Auditory Birth Control with Susan Reynolds, Peter Carlin, Top 5. All very exciting. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, seems that a trick smash through a window at a Radio Shack store in Southeast last night. Southeast Woodstock and Southeast 44th. A witness to say the driver was trying to put the vehicle into four-wheel drive when the person lost control and smashed into Radio Shack. One man has been arrested. He was the driver. It's unclear if he was actually driving at the time. So I guess they're not sure. Police are investigating whether alcohol was a factor. Probably in that area it's more methamphetamine than a factor.
Probably. All right, do I have anything small?
Oh, did I tell you the Burnside Bridge is going to be closed till 6 a.m. Tuesday?
Oh, God. Tear
the damn thing down.
Oh, I hate them.
We don't need a bridge there anymore.
Seriously, what?
Okay, can I just...
It's closed every other day.
Ah!
Oh, I'd forgotten all about it. It's like you ripped a Band-Aid off an open wound.
That's what I'm here for.
Poking a stick in your emotional eye is Tim Riley. Why was that closed all weekend? Why?
For repairs. They never fixed
it. They're not repairing anything. They were repairing it like a year and a half ago.
They repair it every year.
Either they do a lackluster job or it breaks faster than they can fix it. They don't really ever mean to repair it.
I think it's people jumping up and down on it.
And let me just... The kids playing street hockey and so forth. Somebody sent me a wacky suggestion. They said, Rick, should you ever become a zany morning show, they were suggesting a kooky song parody that we could do. And if we, trust me, let me just say this,
you'd be doing it alone.
You kept telling me. I tried to get me to do that once. No, sir.
Maybe Scotty would be happy to get up early.
Oh, man. Look, I can be bought. Well, I don't want to rehash old stuff. I don't want to bring up old stories. I'm just saying I can be bought, but not for the money that they offered. Missing a zero is what they were doing there. What was I saying? Oh, but this guy's like, hey, if you ever want to become a wacky morning show, here's a parody song you can write. And I mean this as no disrespect to you, sir. But it really is just the stupidest, greatest idea. It would be, you know, that No Sleep Till Brooklyn by the Beastie Boys. And this guy's like, you ought to do No Sleep Till Brooklyn, except it would be No Left on Burnside. And you know what? If I was like some mornings with some Nelson and Terry type show, that'd be genius. You know, like a No Left on Burnside. That would be, and people would think it was hilarious. People would call
me too.
They would call us geniuses. Burnside, don't even get me started. Well, I'm not even going to get started, because F that street. F it. I never take that street ever, ever, ever. The only time I take Burnside is by accident. If I somehow, you know, it's like, you don't know, like how I, well, and I know this sounds like a massive rationalist. This sounds like some sort of massive excuse and rationalization. But it's like how I ended up in the middle of the Gay Pride Parade this weekend. It was by accident. I just took a left turn and there I was. Because I just managed to forget about it somehow. The same way I did with the Rose Festival, the same way I did with the immigration parade or whatever it was. Like, well, maybe I'll go to Rocco's, get myself a slice. Seems kind of busy down here. Sure, a lot of flat tops. Where am I? Oh, no! You know, and then I, like 90 minutes to get from, I don't know, to get from like 6th and Alder back to CBS. Just sitting there behind the horses, cops on tops of horses, behind buses, behind whatever, which is, you know, taking a lot of pride in their ability to keep me from getting to work. or getting my pizza, and then don't, and then the Burnside thing. And so then people are like, I know, I'll get, because it, and you could tell that half the traffic down there, if not more, was other people who were like, completely forgot that there was a parade going on. So, like, you know what? The people are like, I'll go downtown. I'll enjoy some of this beautiful sun. I'll go downtown to shop at one of the many multiplexes, one of the many shopping areas in downtown Portland, Oregon. That, just like me, they get downtown, they go, oh, I'm in the middle of a parade. Got to get out of here. So they're trying to flee everybody. And we're all idiots because we're all trying to get out of the traffic congestion by getting on the Burnside, like roaches right into the motel. And then all of us get on the Burnside, and you can, like, you could, it's like that Everybody Hurts video by R.E.M. You can see the thought bubbles above the car. Well, I'm going to go downtown, and maybe I'll buy myself an outfit at one of the many clothiers downstairs, you know, downtown. Oh, don't, there's a parade. Oh, I got to get out of here. I'll turn to the Burnside. Oh, no! You know, and then, you know, it's like hours to get home. So,
you need to move to the suburbs.
I know.
All you got to worry about is getting in and out of Bed Bath & Beyond.
You know, here's the thing. You know what I need to do? I just need to become independently wealthy, and then I'm going to have an underground tunnel. And I'm just going to be able to go into my basement.
Like a bat cave?
Yes. Go into my basement, and I'm going to have a private tunnel that I can just bicycle down that brings me right to here. And it'll be a panel right here on this floor, right by the fire extinguisher.
Maybe you can find an old Shanghai tunnel.
Yeah, see, there you go. How much would you love a tunnel that went from your house to this studio?
I wouldn't want to ride that tunnel. That's creepy.
Wouldn't even have to see the salespeople.
All right. I did go through a tunnel on the Max.
Yeah, it's not the same, though. There's other people there.
That's
all right. We're going to take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's see. Were we just talking about a Radio Shack?
Yeah.
I've already forgotten last hour. I flushed it out of my temp file. I've already flushed my cash. We'll talk to Pat when we get back. Let's see. Steve Kastenbaum about the, you know, some stuff. We'll talk about Scotty and I judging the Portland Teen Idol contest this weekend.
Creepy.
It was kind of creepy. Kind of great. Mostly creepy. Later on, Susan Reynolds, Peter Carlin.
Scotty find a lot of talent there.
It would be wrong for me to... We'll talk about... Was Mrs. J there? No, she wasn't, was she? Well, we'll talk about it again. Don't go anywhere. Oh, and I met one of his children. I met one of Scotty's kids. All right, you stay there. Back after this. Cameras radio program. It's 503-733-2970.
How did you do that?
I was
flailing,
funking. I hit the off button with my hand. All right. Here's what we got to do today. We got the Susan Reynolds coming up with auditory birth control. Let's see. Peter Carlin going to be here at the top of the hour. We'll talk about the last night's entourage and other things. We got top five, more from Tim Riley. Here's what else we got to do, Sarah. We got to talk about the PDX Teen Idol thing. And we got to talk about this upheaval in the world of the second worst story in the history of all humanity. Is that it? Is that... I had something... What else?
And Susan Reynolds.
Yeah, Susan Reynolds. I think, yeah, we got to do that. Oh, and I got this. I got a little bit of an idea. I got an idea for a thing. I got an idea for a wacky radio bit. So we can talk about that later. Before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Scotty J.
That's all I Scotty, you, among your duties this week is to create a new sounder for yourself because I can't play that one anymore. It just gives me agita. So you just you gotta come up with something better. So Scotty J. Now to be please entering the studio. Oh, by the way, sometime today let's try to remember to play that new Storm single, Fat Chick's Revenge. I think it's called.
Yeah, I have it queued. We can play it whenever. It's good.
What's it called? Ladylike Side One. The name of the CD.
Ladylike Side One.
Yeah, and let's make sure we play the clean. Although I guess that song is clean.
It says
anyway.
Promotional copy. Now, one single bad word, safe for children.
God bless her. All right. The
what's
the
guy doing over there?
He's flailing around. He said he's hurting today. Are you hurting?
Yes.
All right.
Are you hungover?
No.
Now, why are you hurting? Oh, because you're helping somebody
is
move.
Is it the
or
deck
you're,
again?
You're raising a barn or something. What is it you're doing?
I lifted my DJ trailer from the front tongue and. And now I'm paying the price.
You realize I don't know what you're talking about. You lifted your DJ trailer.
A DJ trailer? I thought you had a van.
From the front tongue.
have a DJ trailer now, and it's got, you know, the tongue of the trailer.
I don't know what a DJ trailer is.
It's like a 5x8 utility trailer that I haul in my DJ gear around.
How much DJ gear could you possibly need?
A lot.
You have a laptop.
Rick, it's the big show. It's not...
Such a tool. Really, you are just a colossal nerd. All right, is it like a lighting rig and everything?
Yeah, I got all that.
All right.
Four speakers.
All right, let me revise my statement. If I don't know to, I don't care. Let's talk about Portland Teen Idol, which happened this last Saturday.
Yeah, I want to hear about
this. And I'm kind of bummed that you were gone, because we didn't really talk about it much in the days leading up. Because didn't it seem like Thursday and Friday we were really busy with stuff? I forget what. It's Friday especially. It seemed like we were really, really busy with a bunch of things.
Talking about hair for 10 minutes?
Talking to myself here. Hi.
What are you doing?
What are you doing over there?
Well, there's 15... you know, headphones lying around here, and I'm all tangled up in them, and so I wanted to fix it.
Oh, whatever.
It.
Anyway, so Kristen Bowie was here, and it seems like we were really busy with stuff on Thursday and Friday, but I don't really remember what.
Friday we were busy.
I guess Storm was here, and she brought Lucas Rossi in, and, you know, whatever. And so we didn't get a chance to talk about this Portland Teen Idol thing. Now, I realize I'm talking about something that, you know, that most people didn't go to, but it is exactly what it sounds like. It is a Portland version of American Idol, simply for teenagers. I saved some of the documentation they gave us. So if you may remember this, so this girl, Natalie, do you suppose Natalie was of legal age?
Yeah, I think so.
Because she was an attractive girl. I didn't know what to expect. So she was a very aesthetically appealing young lady. So I'm just saying, I don't know.
Thus, there's the creepy part,
no,
right,
no, no,
Sarah?
No. Well, it's only creepy because I have to phrase it that way, right? Because who knows? Who's to say? It would not be creepy if I said, hey, like, let's say if I was talking about, you know, just some random, you know, woman somewhere, and I said, hey, so-and-so, who's really, you know, who's a really beautiful woman, blah, 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 blah. It's only because I have to phrase it as so-and-so.
If she's of age.
Who is aesthetically appealing. She's a very pretty girl. Anyway, so she had called us. I don't want to say ambushed us, but she called us a few weeks ago on the air. And it was during the unscreened phone segment, which we, not a regular feature, but which we kind of do at the beginning of the show sometimes now, where we just take, you know, a few minutes of calls for whatever. Kind of a Don and Mike thing. We just take the calls without even really, you know, just going through them. And I answered, and she said, hi, this is Natalie from, you know, whatever, from Portland Parks and Recreation, whoever it was who's putting it on. She's like, would you guys like to be the judges for, you know, Portland Teen Idol? And I was thinking it was going to be me and Sarah. And so I'm like, yeah, sure. Why? And plus, it was weeks in advance. And that is the thing. It's like, if you ambush me and catch me about something that is like weeks and weeks and weeks in the future, so I can just forget about it, I am likely to say yes, because then I think that it's never really going to have to happen. Like, Sarah and I did this sort of ill-advised television programming.
Let's not even talk about that.
I'm just going to say, when we were unemployed, I won't identify because I don't want to unfairly tarnish anybody, but Sarah and I did this television program when we were unemployed that in many ways was cool, and we met some great people, and there were some cool cats that we worked with, as they say, but in many ways was an excruciating living hell.
Was that cable access?
It wasn't cable access, but it was just, there were some problems. But the reason that we agreed to do it is because this guy asked us literally like a year in advance. He's like, would you and Sarah be willing to work on a skeezy television program? And we're like, yeah, sure, come find us next year.
In a bingo parlor?
You want to work in a bingo parlor in 161st and Stark and never get paid? And I was like, sure, why not, you know? And then like a year later, you're like, ah, damn. It's like being an organ donor, you know? You just sort of, you know, you agree to it, not really thinking about the fact that you have to, you know, someday, you know, we're going to be taking your kidneys. Anyway, so I agreed to be a judge for this Portland Teen Idol thing, and then I realized later that Sarah was going to be gone, and so it ended up being me and Scotty. So Scotty and I go to the Portland Teen Idol competition, which was on Saturday at my favorite place, Reed College. And, you know, I love going to Reed College. Going to Reed College, as I said, is like, it's just like being at the Apple Store or at Kitchen Caboodle. It's just one of those places where I don't belong. I feel ugly and stupid and ill-dressed. And I got all kinds of class issues, and everybody knows that. Reed College is a place that just fills me with inexplicable hate. It just fills me with hate and just fury and anger and loathing, and it's all kinds of bad things. But we went there, and the deal was that I guess they had started out with like 300 teenagers, and of course, three, obviously, between 13 and 18. The oldest was 18, youngest was 13, obviously. And they'd started out with like 300 kids, and I guess they've been doing eliminations for the past 2 months or whatever, winnowing it down at whatever event. This was the top 10. So Scotty and I show up. First of all, I woke up Saturday, and I was not hungover, but I was just, I felt bad. You know, some days you just wake up and you feel beat to crap.
Yeah.
You wake up with what, you know, with a bag of, as somebody once said, you wake up like a bag of smashed crap, bag of hammered crap.
Nobody says that.
No, they don't. They don't, but I can't say the phrase that they actually use. But I woke up just feeling terrible, and I was like, oh, God damn, why did I agree to do this, you know, this stupid Portland Teen Idol thing? What the, why, what's, why? And so I'm sitting there, and did you ever do this where you got something planned that's going to happen later in the evening, or maybe if it's Friday night, you've got something planned that you don't really want to do for Sunday afternoon, and it makes it so hard to enjoy the time leading up to that, you know what I mean? Like, if you've got a dinner party to go to at 7 o'clock on a Saturday, it makes it so hard to enjoy Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. Because the whole time, you're like dreading the thing you've got to do later on that night. It makes it difficult to enjoy the rest
of
the
day. Well, you do understand that normal people don't dread going out and having fun with their friends.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, let's say it's not that. Let's say you've got a social obligation, something you really don't want to do.
Okay.
But you got to do it at like 7 o'clock.
That's true. It does ruin it.
Because
they put a cloud.
Because like Saturday at like noon, you're like, let's go to the park. Let's go out shopping. Let's go whatever. And you're like, damn it, I got that thing at 7. And you can't really cut loose and really have the great time. So I'm sitting there all day. You know, I was laying on the sofa just hating my life. I'm like, why did I agree to go to Reed College and judge this thing? And finally, I text Scotty at like 5, and I'm like, when and where do I have to be there for this thing? Scotty calls me back right away. He's like, I'm so hungover. I don't want to go. I'm thinking about calling in sick. And I'm like, F that. We're both going. You are not calling in sick and leaving me to judge Portland Teen Idol by myself. F that. You are there. And this is what Scotty said to me. Scotty's court. He goes, I'm really sick today. He said, I'm like paraplegic sick.
What?
I'm sure all the paraplegics in the audience really appreciate your honesty in assessing yourself that way. How hungover were you?
I could barely move.
You were so hungover on Saturday. I don't think I've ever seen, and that's a bold statement, I don't think I've ever seen Scotty so hungover. So Scotty and I get to Reed College for the Portland Teen Idol thing Saturday night. It starts at 7, and there was like some dinner, and there was like a walk-in on the red carpet with fake paparazzi. I showed up. No, I did not go to that. I stayed in my car. I hid in my car in the parking lot. I hid in my car until 5 minutes before we had to be there. And then I went in, and so Scotty was there.
I was wishing I could wear sunglasses the whole time.
Well, seriously, they're like, we'll have a walk-in on the red carpet with fake paparazzi. And just like, thank you, no. I'll come in at the last minute. Because I didn't know what to expect. And so then at the last minute, I walk in, and I'm like, you know, and I'm you know, trying to look decent and everything. And then Scotty is there with your daughter. Can we say her name?
Yep, sure.
What was her name?
Megan.
Megan, who seemed, it's that particular look that I see sometimes on the face of a teenager, which is the walking just far enough behind the parent that maybe passersby won't know that the two are related to each other. You know,
is she in that phase?
You know what I'm talking about, too.
Oh, I don't know. She was hanging out with her friends.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your parenting skills. I'm just saying no matter what kind of parent you are, there comes a time when your kid starts walking a few paces ahead of or behind you so that they don't look like they're there with dad. You know what I mean?
That was the case.
It's like if you take your kid to school. Your kid wants to be dropped off a block away so she can walk to school, so it's not like mom or dad dropped her off. No teenager wants to be dropped off at the concert. So it's,
notice how they disappeared the whole night.
Oh, totally. Your daughter and some friend of hers, and they vanish. They're like, Dad, do we have to sit with you? And you're like, well, just stay where I can see you. And they vanish, man. I did not see them again the rest of the night. So Scotty and I walk in, and we are greeted at the front door by Miss Portland. Isn't that who it was?
Yeah, I believe so.
Miss Portland, who's some, like, impossibly stick-thin girl wearing a crown and handing out some impossibly tiny girl with a, like, a size zero girl with a crown handing out flyers. So there you go. You work hard. You work your entire teenage life to become Miss Portland. That's what it gets you. Here you go. Have a flyer.
Have you ever seen that movie with Denise Richards in it? It's about beauty pageants. I can't remember what it's called.
Mm-mm.
And there's a little anorexic girl they have to wheel around in a wheelchair because she's so thin.
I'm not saying that this girl, that would be wrong of me to say. I'm just saying she's unbelievably thin, this Miss Portland. I think that's who it was. It was her and another girl who I think was like Miss, you know, whatever, Miss Congeniality, or whether some other representative of Portland. But they're both there. It's a whole lot of, I'm Miss Portland.
I have a program. You know, and that was your...
Well, they did like, ask for our picture.
That's your... Oh, and then Scotty... Oh, yeah, that's the other... Scotty and I got our pictures taken with Miss Portland. Miss Portland, there is a photo somewhere that girl took of Scotty and I flanked by Miss Portland. And it might have been, like, runner-up Miss Portland, whoever the other girl was.
So are we allowed to talk about her? Did she look totally emaciated?
She was very, very slender. I mean, a beautiful
pretty.
Girl.
I thought she was pretty.
So was the other girl. They were the other girl. They were pretty. Both very, very beautiful. She didn't, I will say this, she did not look unhealthily thin. She was very, very slender. But there's a photo somewhere that undoubtedly we'll get with Scotty and I flanked by these two hot Portland girls in tiaras. And then Scotty and I just look like tools. So anyway, so we go in and they sit us down. And so the judges were this woman named Stephanie Schneiderman, who I guess is a local musician, who's really good. We're going to have her on the show. She was really, really great.
Dirty Martini.
A woman named Tracy something or other, who was Mrs. Portland.
Miss Oregon.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Oregon. Mrs. Oregon, 2006.
Oh.
Which is...
She's not so pure.
I didn't... Yes, she's had relations. Miss Sexually Active Oregon, 2006. So, Mrs. Oregon, Scotty, myself, this guy named... Is it named Michael Allen Harrison? Some guy.
Composer.
So he's like he runs a record label. He's like a composer. Dude, I wish you had been there. He's like... He's the guy I want to be. Do you ever see people, you're like, that's who I want to be when I'm 60?
I met my 30-year-old future self on the plane yesterday.
30? How sad. That's only 4 years from now.
No, 30, like in 30 years.
Oh, how when you're 60. Who was it?
I was this lady. She actually lives in Vancouver, Washington. And we both had on, you know, a lot of jewelry.
Right.
Totally bobbled up. We're just like frantically, like, you know, babbling back and forth to each other. Both order like the same white wine. And we're sitting there just like, she was super cool. She's the person I want to be. But Kiki was sitting there and she couldn't even talk. She's like, you guys are so similar. I can't even deal with it right now.
And then sometimes you see the person you will be. And that's sad. I'm just saying. Anyway, so there's Michael, I think his name is Michael Allen Harrison. And I remember that because it's almost the same name as this talk radio guy. But anyway, he like runs a record label and he's just, I would put him at, what, late 40s? 50, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
But you know what? Just the coolest guy. I mean, stylish. He's exactly how a rock guy, which you can tell he used to be, should age. Dressed stylishly, not trying to look really young, not trying to look like he's 18. Dressed, you know, I would say in a stylish fashion, but not, you know, didn't look like a tool. Just really cool. There's just a hot girl with him. Totally just the air of sophistication. And then, city commissioner Dan Saltzman, who was the final judge. Now, I have to tell you this right now. Sneeden would help us with this. I don't know what a commissioner does. Tim, what does the commissioner do? Do you know?
Hey, he's a politician who makes rules.
All right.
He calls up Batman.
Don't be retarded. Anyway, so Dan Saltzman was the final judge. He seems like a nice guy. Kind of nerdy. I mean, not in a good way.
I met him when he did Candidates Gone Wild. He was nice.
He was a nice guy. I don't know what a commissioner does, but he seemed like a cool guy. Anyway... And so, but then we get in there and I realize, like, these people are taking this seriously. It's like hundreds and hundreds of people. Do you remember the place where we filmed Bigger Than Jesus the final time? That big auditorium? It was like that. I mean, it's like packed. It's like hundreds of people. And then the judges, including Scotty and myself, are sitting right down front of the stage at like a big table with like big placards with our name on it. Scotty J from 970.
Scotty, did you feel
pretty
special?
It was like the real American Idol.
It was a real deal. I mean, they were taking it really seriously. The hostess was a girl. We should be really nice. She was really cool. Her name was Sony.
Yeah.
From the Playhouse on Jam. She was really cool.
Super nice. She is super very nice.
Beautiful, too. She was really cool. So she was the hostess and blah, 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 blah. So they introduced us all. And then it was 10 performers who each came out and did two songs. Because they are all teenagers and a lot of them are still in their formative years, I won't be mean. I won't poke fun. I'm just going to say that, you know, some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. There were a couple who were really, really amazingly talented, which is both kind of inspiring and depressing. There were a couple performers, and I won't single anybody out, but there were a couple performers who were fantastic. I mean, who were like 14 or 15 and just stunning performers, which is really depressing, though, because you think, like, goddamn, like, this is just like in Portland.
and just a random smattering of people in Portland, there's this much talent. Like, you realize the odds are, like, you're never going to make it. Mm-hmm. Like, you will never be successful. Because, you know, and I mean...
Rick Rock, you're over.
No, I'm just saying, anybody who lives in that kind of... Look, anybody who's ever lived in L.A., anybody who's ever lived in New York will tell you this. There are... It doesn't matter if you're pretty and talented and you have a great voice and you can act. You know what? There's a million people just like you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. The odds, it is such a crapshoot in the entertainment world. There was the one girl I want to single out, though, because it turns out her dad was a listener. There's this girl who sang there. She's 13, and she's, and I mean this in a good way, she's like that Michigan J. Frog character from the Warner Brothers cartoons. She comes out on the stage. She's, like, so meek, so mild. You can barely hear her talk. You're like, what's your name?
Samantha.
And then, like, the lights hit her, and, man, it was like Bette Midler. I mean, it was just, she was unbelievable. She was show-stopping. And then, like, she would be done performing, and they're like, so, Samantha, how do you feel about your performance?
I gotta go.
And then she, like, run off stage.
So true. It was amazing, because she was an adult was when, like, she was performing,
yeah,
like, but
the lights would hit her
when she talked.
Yeah, the lights would hit her, and it was, like, Broadway pro. And then, when the song was done, she's like, I gotta
go backstage.
Ribbit.
Yeah, totally. I met her dad later, though. Her dad's name is Steve. He's a listener. So, Steve, if you're out there, big ups to you. I want to invest in your kid, because she's going to be a star by the time she's... I'm going to buy stock in her, because she's going to be... I don't want to be stalking her. I want to buy stock in her, because she's going to be a star when she's like 21. Disney finds her, man. She's going to be...
Where you pick that station?
She belongs on the Disney channel.
No, I'm just saying.
Now.
No, I mean, they're... I'm seriously. The Disney people see her, she's going to be a star by the time she's 17. I mean, she's you know, unreal. Okay, so I'm just quickly going to go through... and then at the end, you know, some people won and whatever. I know we're running behind, but I gotta make some notes. We'll break. Tim's coming up. Auditory birth control with Susan Reynolds. Peter Carlin, top five. So here are my notes, though.
Maybe a listener went, too. Who knows?
Scotty says, subtly gesturing at the phones. Maybe there's a listener who would like to weigh in. Well, I met some listeners later. There was some, you know. But I'm going to make some notes here. There's no way to say this. And it's one of those things that I'll say, and Sarah will say it's creepy. But it really just is, you tell me if it's different from, in your estimation, Sarah, that really, it really is almost impossible now to tell how old some teenagers are.
Oh, it's true. It's completely true. Girls who I would assume were like 18 or 19 are like 13.
There was a girl, and again, I'm not going to mention it, I don't want to make anybody feel weird. There was this girl who, great singer, great performer, and just really, truly beautiful. And, you know, and it's, you know, there were 18-year-olds there, and I looked down at the program at one point, and she's like 15, and I was like, damn, man. I mean, it is so, it's another reason I'm glad I'm not a parent, because I can't imagine you're the parent of some, you know, some girl, or even some boy who goes, you know, the boys there who are 13 and 14, and they look like they're 20. I mean, it's just got to be weird to be a parent. So it's a little freaky. Scotty noted at one point here, I'm just going to go through these notes one by one from when Scotty and I judged Portland Teen Idol this weekend. Scotty's saying, my hangovers last for 24 hours. He noted that his hangovers last for an entire day.
I want to crawl under a rock. And
you,
had to
Scotty, went
up front and try to talk. And, it was so hard.
And then between acts, they would play this loud house music. So, and we're right in front of the speaker.
No, you couldn't pull it together.
That's right.
Scotty is so hungover, and between acts, they would play this.
And that's the same music. I'm serious. That's
just
how it sounds.
Seriously. And right into Scotty's. You know, and Scotty's just sitting there with his eyes shut and just that look of like, I want to die.
Well, it's probably like the real thing with Paula Abdul. She probably does the same thing.
Exactly. During commercial break.
Exactly how Paula feels. This will mean nothing to nobody except for us, but there's a very fine lady we work with here, a young lady named Sarah Wagner, who works here at CBS. I think she's got a twin. She's got like some weird doppelganger who was in the competition. Let's see. Okay, here's another note, and I know that we're running late here, but I just got to get through these notes. At the beginning, the Natalie girl, who was the one who corralled us into this, they took us all the judges, us and Commissioner Saltzman and all that, and she's like, okay, now, we don't want any Simon Cowells tonight. We want you to be positive. And they looked like right at me when they said it, too. They're like, no, and I'm not a mean guy.
No, if anything, you're nicer in public. You like, feign niceness.
I think you and Michael got a talking to about halfway in between.
That's the thing. So they're like, no Simon Cowells, keep it positive. And so this Michael guy, who is like a record producer, and who am I to make assessments? I don't know what the hell. But But, you know.
He's being honest.
But, well, and it's like, and theoretically, they're at this because they are thinking about singing as a career. And right. So I don't want to lie. I want to give them a little something. And so I would try to say, it's the old management thing where you pat him with one hand, hit him with the other, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it would be like, you know what, I think you have a lot of enthusiasm, and I think you've got a great projection. Your voice projects a lot. I think, you know, you might want to find songs that allow you to work more within your natural range, because your natural range is really strong. You might want to find songs where maybe the key is a little more in keeping with your, you know, your God-given vocal ability.
Learn how to breathe from the diaphragm.
Exactly. Exactly that kind of stuff. Yeah. There was one guy who, great showmanship, doing a lot of dance moves, but kept forgetting to put the microphone up to his mouth so you couldn't even hear him. And we'd say, like, great showmanship, great performance. Let's make sure your singing ability isn't overshadowed by that, you know? So we're thinking that we're, you know, gilding the lily. I swear to God, the woman comes up. This other girl comes, Amber, Tiffany, or Marissa, some girl, comes up halfway through. And she goes, now look, you can't be like Simon Cowell because the girls are crying backstage.
And then he got on this fixation.
The girls were crying. And she was
you
right,
are terrible.
No, right to me and this Michael guy. She's like, look. And she passed us a note in a napkin in letters 5 inches high. No Simon! Because the girls are crying. Apparently, and I don't know who it was.
And he got fixated.
There was
on
some
it.
Girl locked in the bathroom who wouldn't come out crying.
I'm never going to perform again.
She wouldn't come out of the bathroom. I'm not laughing at it. We were so nice. Some girl wouldn't come out of the bathroom because she's in there with the waterworks. And so, yeah, we were making girls cry, apparently, with our comment.
And that's the nice comment.
Totally.
Too.
And Michael and I were totally like, what do you want? I mean, we're being as nice as we can. So, yeah, girl crying in the bathroom. Oh, and then this. And there's only one set of bathrooms. We didn't get our own bathrooms. So at one point.
They're all screaming.
At one point, I have. And this is after I know a girl is crying. At one point, I have to walk out and use the bathroom. I have to walk right by some of the families who have, and this is like after one of the eliminations has already been done. We've already like gotten rid of 70% of the people. Like we've already basically voted 70% of the contestants off and said, like, you know, you have already lost. I then have to walk to the bathroom past the families who are either crying or seething. And of course, they had us all stand up at the beginning to go like, hello, I'm a judge in a bright red shirt. Remember what I look like. Later, exactly. I have to walk by the families of the losers as I am going
to
the bathroom.
Losers.
They didn't win, Sarah.
They were the top 10, though, but they are the
non-winners.
They're the non-winners. Their performance was exceeded, as Ed McMahon used to say in Star Search. No, Star Search.
They were overqualified.
Overqualified by somebody else. Someone else overqualified them.
So really, you got to think about this. Out of 300, top 10, they're pretty good.
No, they're top 10, but I mean, but the point is, they didn't make it to the final cut. Okay. I'm not saying they all sing better than I do. They all sing.
Forward.
Every one of them sang better than I do. But I have to walk by the families who are like crying and angry.
Didn't even say anything to you?
No, but I got a lot of the hairy eyeball. You know what I mean? A lot of the whole, there's one of them judges. Right there.
Did you have to wear a special judge
some
shirt?
Guy in a trucker hat. No, but I mean, they had to stand up, and I'm wearing a bright red.
Oh, your A970 shirt?
No, but I should have. I didn't. I wore that red, bright red button down with the black pinstripes.
The one I bought for you?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, but it's a bright red shirt. And they had me stand up and look at the crowd. So, yeah, the family's like some kind of trucker hat, you know, and like skull going, there's the judge right there.
Who shattered my little girl's
dream. There's a girl who got stomped all over my baby's ambitions.
And that's right. I mean, that's the look.
Laughing. I'm not laughing at that, but you know what I mean. All right. I'm not even halfway through, so should we finish these observations next hour?
Yes, we've got a break. We're so late.
All right. Tim, I'm sorry. When we come back,
you
have exciting news stories to share?
Not as exciting as that. I want to hear the annex.
It was a pretty exciting show.
We have auditory birth control with Susan Reynolds coming up as well. Also, Peter Carlin coming up and the top five. And I'll get through the rest of these Portland Teen Idol comments. It was a many splendored night. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Twisted Sister. Stay right there. I can tie him down when he disobeys, though.
I don't.
I could. Nobody'd say anything about it.
Are you talking about Scotty?
Yes. Then I can tase him, too.
All right.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Is it Susan? or Tim. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get Susan Reynolds here in a moment with an exciting new segment on this program entitled Auditory Birth Control. But first, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
For Democracy on the March. Here's another exciting installment of Democracy on the March for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Iraq is unstable as coalition forces extend their reach. We had a number of people with you today and yesterday.
Oh, this is from April of
2003. Are you kidding?
No. Well, it's funny how the more things change. Why are you really?
Yes.
Hold on.
It's 4 years ago.
Oh, my God, you're right. April 11, 2003. Listen to this. This is so terrible and so terrible and yet so unbelievably non-surprising. Dateline Iraq, April 11th, 2003. Iraq unstable as coalition forces extend their reach. The U.S. Central Command said on Thursday that Baghdad was an ugly place.
Meanwhile, June 18th, 2007. Iraq is now the second most unstable country in the world. It's standing deteriorating from last year's fourth place on the list of the 10 nations most vulnerable to violent internal conflict and worsening conditions.
Do we get a prize if it becomes the most unstable? Do we get like a tote bag or something?
I hope so.
Number one, fantastic. Have a mug.
So some of the other bad countries include Somalia, Zimbabwe, the Ivory Coast, which sounds like a really clean place.
I thought that's where those movies came from.
Oh, maybe. Democratic Republic of the Congo and Guinea. The White House is being cautiously optimistic about the new things going on in Iraq.
This presidential council is becoming, as they expressed, more effective and coherent as an organization so that you have not only much closer personal but professional dealings between the four members, at one point calling themselves the Gang of Four.
Yes, important people are involved in solving Iraq's problems.
It is clear that you've got an environment now where the key leaders are working together on these issues. Yes, we have heard a lot of these things before.
Yes, in 2003, for example.
We think they're very serious and moving forward on the key items.
They're moving forward, all right. Well, at 107 pounds, Juliet Lee doesn't look like she's a big eater. But the Maryland salon manager is now a new hot dog eating champion.
Is this still Democracy on the March?
Well, yes, because it's American.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's Americana. Pie. Okay.
She downed 26 francs and buns in just 12 minutes yesterday. She beat two other guys, both weighing 360 pounds apiece. Let's see. She grew up in China and was often hungry. Now she's making up for it.
Okay.
Democracy on the March.
By the way, let me close this out. This news from 2003 says a number of people were wounded today and yesterday. It's still a very dangerous situation, said U.S. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. He added that coalition airstrikes were continuing on Iraqi positions and that progress would be made soon. There's fantastic.
And finally, Kansas City police report an 18-year-old was arrested after shooting his friend in a dare. The Wichita Eagle reports the two were smoking drugs when the 17-year-old victim mocked his friend, saying he wouldn't shoot him.
And that's just the end of the story. There's really nowhere else to go there.
No, there isn't.
I like the idea that it's just drugs. There's no
clarification.
Smoking drugs.
All right.
Fantastic. Tim Riley will return later on in the program, kids.
Yes.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru, the one. I swear to God, you can hear the Victrolan needle on the recording. You really can hear the Victrolan needle on the recording.
I'm watching the record play it. Scotty sent me a YouTube video of a record playing in some of
the Is this the Sinatra version?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Hello, Susan Reynolds.
Well, hi.
That's your new theme song.
Thanks.
I didn't have a kid thing handy.
Okay,
I don't have a theme. That's the theme for today anyway.
All right.
For an exciting new segment of the program we're calling Auditory Birth Control with Susan Reynolds. So if you are pondering having children, pay heed and listen to these cautionary tales, won't you? All right. Now, I know the punchline to this story.
Yeah.
I haven't told anybody else. This is...
I thought that your daughter... Isn't she still grounded?
Well, you know, how long can you realistically... How long can you ground somebody for teeping and lying? Okay, she was grounded for quite some time.
And we also... I mentioned on the air, I think. I'm not sure if you were here or not. We mentioned how she had... She was saying that she was, like, walking out to the front yard because she, like, left something. I left something in the front yard, but it was, like, in full makeup, and there were boys waiting out front.
And it was 11 o'clock at night.
And then you did the horrifying mom thing of opening the door, like, in your cold cream and curlers.
Where are you going?
Well, for the record, no cold cream, no curlies. But I did open the door, and
so
I did
great.
Say, who's out there?
Oh.
Which I immediately turned into my own mother,
fantastic.
And that was horrifying. But
yeah.
You know.
So what's the lady? Now, have we mentioned her name? Are we?
I don't know
not?
If we have or we haven't. But let's just say she's 13, almost 13.
Should we call her Cindy?
I was just going to say, what should we call her? Tina, Cindy.
I don't like Tina.
Okay.
No, how about Jan, the middle daughter?
Jan. We'll call her Jan.
Jan.
All right, Jan.
So, what started out as a nice little shopping for Father's Day. Ended up, well, here's the thing. You know, I realize I've come to be an ATM with wheels. That is basically my role.
Right.
And I resent that. I mean, don't I have a right to a little, I don't know, bit of a relationship more than just hand over cash and take her places?
Well, the thing is, if I can just jump in here, my thing is, like, I was watching the movie Heathers the other day. Who was it that had never seen Heathers? Oh, it was our friend Chris Morris, who had never seen Heathers.
Yeah.
And Joni was, like, going to strap him down and make him watch it. And the thing about Heathers, which is a fantastic movie, the thing that Heathers gets really, really right, which is a thing that a movie called Brick last year also got really right, which is that when you enter your teenage years, it's this sort of tunnel where parents don't even really exist. They're just these sort of shadowy figures on the periphery. Your school and that social group is its own, it's like a terrarium, its own encapsulated, self-contained society. And parents are just sort of these sort of dark figures that just sort of loom right outside of your peripheral vision.
And except keep when you from doing things.
Except when you need money.
Yeah. So, you know, she had said, oh, I need clothes, I need this, I need that. I said, well, I need to go get Father's Day presents and you're coming with me.
Right.
So I think she came because she thought, well, one shopping trip would lead to another and she would get what she wanted. So we start dragging around and we pull into a parking lot and she says, I'm waiting in the car. Because she knows that whatever in that store is not for her. So I got irritated. You know, rightfully so. It is her dad. She should be, you know, getting involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Get back in the car. She's just surly and... Anyway, go to the next location. I say, you're coming in.
Well, so, you know why she was surly, too, if I can make these observations
to
go along. Here's one of the reasons she was surly. Because you went to the store. You wanted her to go into the store and help pick out the present process. And then you just said, well, fine, wait in the car. I'm going in. She was somewhat disappointed, probably, that you didn't pick a fight with her. She probably wanted to just have a big fight with you. And if you didn't engage in a fight, she was probably angry about it.
Oh, but the big fight was just looming large in the in the future. So we go into the next location, pick out a couple of things, and then she makes some reference to some shorts that she needs. And so I say, well, why don't we go over
here?
Yeah. You need them. You have to have them.
Must have. And you know, if she had her way, we'd be doing all her shopping at Abercrombie and, you know, Hollister and no thanks. When she wears
Let's
things,
go to Marshall's.
She wears things for like 20 minutes and then she grows out of them. So, you know, I'm more along the lines of the Target and all that kind of thing for her.
Yeah.
And that is where we are. And so I start pulling things off the rack and the eye rolling and the tisking and the, you know.
I can't possibly wear that.
Right. Yeah. So it's escalating from here. So now we move on to our third location. And then it just, I can't even remember really what set me off, but I know it was the $30 toner that she wanted for her skin, and I said no and then proceeded to drag her out of Sephora and we sat her down on a bench and tried to have a conversation. And that didn't go well. And, you know, she's constantly looking around to make sure she doesn't see anybody she knows while her mother is giving her, you know, the what for, as they say. And at some point she made a comment and I just said, that's it. We're going home. Out of here. So I get up and I just march for the exit and off I go. And she was behind me, I thought. And then I get out of the store and I realize she's not behind me. So I just stand out there. I figure, I'm not going in. I'm not going in. And now it's a test of wills, right? She's in, I'm out, and I'm standing there. And I thought I could leave, but that would probably not be a smart thing to do. Although
I
wanted to.
Were you tempted to leave her there?
I was tempted.
Yeah.
And then eventually she came out of the store and she said, now that you're done having your fit, are you ready to go back inside? Your daughter said, Susan, what did I do?
Were you reaching for the belt that you, like my dad, just hand right for the belt buckle?
Well, like I said to you earlier, I am not the spanking type, but if I were, I would have cracked her in the next week. I was so mad. I mean, I just couldn't believe
it. This is why I can't have children. I don't think that I would be able to refrain myself.
You and me both.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was like, you know, to the moon.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to do.
As the late, great Sam Kennison once said, I don't advocate domestic violence, but I understand it occasionally. Yeah. So what did you do? I mean, when your kid says that to you, well, Mom, now that you're done having your fit, can we go, what do you say?
I was practically seeing white, you know? I mean, I didn't know what to do. And then she said, well, I really want to go into Nordstrom and get something for Dad.
Now she
does.
Into Nordstrom.
Into Nordstrom, which is fine, which is where I would go to buy something for him. And, of course, when she says, I would like to go into Nordstrom and buy something for Dad, what she really means is, I would like to go into Nordstrom and pick something out that you will then pay for, and it will be from me. Yeah.
You feel better?
I guess. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know, I realize that, you know, you realize being the CBS Portland marketing whatever I am is not a part-time job. So there's a level of stress here, right?
Sure.
And then, you know, I go home, and then there's a level of stress there, and I don't feel that...
feel like you're going a little nutty?
A little nutty. And did I mention that our nanny quit?
Oh.
So, wah-wah.
The best part, Susan comes out to my office on Friday. She walks down the hall. She's like, Rick, do you know any nannies?
Actually, I know. I'll talk to you.
As though, like, you could find anybody in the building who would have less nanny knowledge than me.
I mean, it was more of a rhetorical question for you, because I knew you didn't know any nannies.
Right.
But anyway, so the point is, you know, little teenage girls...
And of course, you don't have any recollection of being like this when you were a teenager.
Well, not like this. If I had said that to my mom, I would have never, ever gotten anything.
My mother
anything.
Would have left me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And rightly so.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I would have deserved it.
Yeah, my mom would have left me. My dad would have totally cracked me.
Yeah.
My mom would have just left me, though, and she would have been like, walk home. You know?
Well, and so, you know, Sunday, of course, Father's Day. So I'm trying to get the kids out of bed so they can, you know, make breakfast for their dad. And, you know, she would not get up. I mean, she didn't speak to me from sort of that moment on for the rest of the weekend. And she finally came down the stairs and sat down at the kitchen table and just put her head down on the table. So, no, happy Father's Day. I mean, she's just
kids are masters of passive resistance.
Oh, this was a perfect example of it. So it was really, later on, he tried to sort of referee between the two of us, and she kept saying, you're lying, you're lying. I said, I'm sorry, like 15 times. I said, well, really, because if I would have heard it even once, I would have remembered it.
There you go. So the next time you say to yourself, why use that condom? I want you to reflect on this moment, reflect on this conversation, and reflect on this installment of Auditory Birth Control with Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland's marketing guru. Thank you, Susan.
I do love my kids.
We believe you.
Just for the record.
Aww. All right. Sarah, are we at the break here, or should we plunge into this next stuff without the break?
Let's just go for it.
All right, there you go.
But you can give
Thank
me a deal if you'd like.
I really do believe that she loves her kids, by the way, because really love at that point is the only thing that, again, keeps Mr. Hand from becoming
hand
Mr. Fist.
Yeah.
Seriously. If somebody you didn't love talked to you that way, it's a whole lot of fives. All right. Excellent. All right. All right. Cross Country Nate, of course, is on the whole is on the phone to check in. We've got Peter Carlin coming up. We've got the top five. We got to finish this thing about the Portland Teen Idol. By the way, you're listening to KCMD Portland.
What a busy day. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from groundzeromedia.org and the host of the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at 8 o'clock at Dante's, our good friend Clyde Lewis. What's up, brother man?
Hey, I'm at Club OHSU today.
You're at what?
Club OHSU. I've been at Club OHSU since Friday.
Hey, what's up with that?
Well, I was supposed to go to Maury Island, Washington, but I collapsed and ended up in the hospital.
Well, okay.
So I'm in the hospital.
So not really like a voluntary thing,
I'm ordered to go to the hospital.
I'm infested with something, kind of.
No, I'm not infested with anything. It's just that it's weird. I just, I don't know. I'm in the hospital now. They're going to give me, I've been in since when? I mean, it's all over MySpace that somebody posted something on MySpace saying I'm in the hospital. I've been getting phone calls from people all over the country. It's hilarious. They're calling me here, and I'm talking to them. I say hello to Crystal. She loves your show. She listens to you all the time. She called me, and I got a call from Vortex. He's a good guy. He called me, and a number of other people. I mean, I got a call from Klingon Jim, and I got a call from Sadie, and I got a call. I'm just getting calls from a lot of people who are wishing me well.
Are we allowed to ask what's wrong with you, or is this like?
Well, I mean, you know, it's no secret that I've been kind of like, you know, under investigation for some sort of a cancer on my kidney, and so it's like there's still. I didn't get my test done after my mother passed away. I didn't get my test done because I've been too busy working on other projects, and so I neglected it since March. And so what happened is that I was supposed to go to Maury Island, Washington, or Vashon Island, depending on which island you want to be at, doing an investigation into the 1947 Maury Island incident where...
Okay, for a minute, I thought this was like a treatment place. I thought this was some sort of an experimental facility.
No.
We're
going
to send you to this island and have you probed.
What's that? No, it was really a cool idea, but I'm still going to go back. I'm probably going to go back next weekend because I really want to go there. What's going on is I'm working with a network right now called IdeoCast, which is an online network, and they want me to do an investigation into... I mean, it's the 60th anniversary of Roswell coming up in July. And what people don't know is that in the Northwest, we are the first, actually, the Northwest is the first to have UFO encounters. We had Kenneth Arnold, who flew over the Cascades and saw 9 UFOs and reported them. And that's where the word flying saucer came from, because he said, well, they were, you know, they skipped along the water like flying skipped along the air like flying saucers on water or whatever, or saucers on water, so they call them flying saucers. But there was an incident that happened on Maury Island where these two men claimed that UFOs swooped down off of Maury Island and dropped some metal slag onto a boat, killed a dog, harmed a kid, and immediately it was labeled a hoax by Project Blue Book, and no one else talked about it. No one really does talk about it anymore. But about 2 months ago, there was an old prospector that was out in Kelso, Longview area, that was doing some, looking around, and he found these plane parts in the woods. And the truth is the story goes that these men took this slag to these men in black, these OSI guys, or OSF guys, or whatever they are, and they gave it to them, and they said, okay, we're going to take this to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and have it investigated. Well, when they got on the plane crashed in Longview, and they couldn't find the plane or anything, but everybody on board was believed dead, and then they just wrote it off. But this guy found the plane, and it was reported, and you can look it up. It's on Northwest News cable. They reported that they found this plane, and they found the parts, and they found this unbelievable metal slag that they picked up. And now it's in the Seattle Museum of Mysteries, and I was going to do an interview with the proprietors of the museum and talk with them a little bit about what really happened, because they said, well, this never happened, and now they've got all the stuff to prove that it did happen, and it's a story that isn't being reported, so I was going to just take the bull by the horns and do it. Well, as I was getting ready to go to the meeting up on the island, I collapsed. I collapsed, and I was rushed to the hospital, and I've been in the hospital since Friday at night at 7 o'clock. I was there, and then I wanted to leave, and the doctors told me, if you leave, you could bring serious harm to yourself, or you could die, or whatever. And I said, that's not serious. Now I feel fine. I'm walking out. So I walked out of the hospital, got in the car, got ready to go, and just...
Why would you possibly do that? Why, when the doctor says if you leave, you could die, and you go, I'll leave?
Because I wanted to go do the investigation, man. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, you don't want to get told that you're going to die. You want to get told that you're going to harm yourself. So, you know me, I'm not the type of guy to go sit there and go, oh, God, big deal. You know, and I walked, and I, oh, you know.
Why would you follow that advice?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, that, you know, you were that way too, though. I mean, if someone, you know, is telling you that, you know, you can't do something, you do it, Rick. You don't just get back and say, oh, okay, I won't do it. You know, you're the type of guy that meets some sort of challenge head on, and you don't take any crap from people, and that's why you've always been, and that's why I am too. And so, you know, I just said no, and I walked out, and sure enough, I found out, yes, I'm going to die.
From OHSU.
Yes, what's that?
Says the guy talking to us from OHSU.
No, it beat my butt, didn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I've been in the hospital since Friday. And they're actually going to tell you if I can walk because they what had happened is that I could not breathe. I was having a hard time breathing, and they put me on respirators. And the thing is I remember there was a beautiful nurse that took care of me in the emergency room, and the next thing I know, I wake up and I have this beautiful doctor looking over at me. So I have a lot of pretty doctors and nurses here at OHSU, which I think is amazing. But
well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're having like a little technical thing here.
I'm sorry.
Sarah's trying to... She's trying to type. She's like on the internet, but we're having this thing where we can't turn her mic off.
Oh.
So I'm hearing all this clatter and like ambient noise from her microphone. And so I'm like, just where you were talking.
I thought that was fixed because like when my microphone's off, you're not supposed to be able to hear it.
I'm gesturing at Sarah, going, I can hear you typing.
Right.
And she looked over at me and she goes, I know, but and then we realized that was like being heard too. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well,
while you're there, what's up? What's on the immediate horizon? What can
well, they're planning on releasing me today. They were talking about releasing me today. However, I do have to get a number of tests done before I leave, and I think I'm going to be at the lounge tonight. But I'm going to do it sitting down rather than standing up. You know, I'm afraid I'll fall over.
It's sort of a lounge unplugged.
Yeah, it's kind of me. It's kind of a sit down conversation with Clyde Lewis. But I got some things I want to talk about other than the Maury Island affair because I didn't get a chance to do the investigation. But the scary part about Maury Island, and this is what's really fascinating, is that Maury Island has always brought bad luck to people for some reason.
Yes, apparently so.
And so just me collapsing before I go to the hospital, or before I go on the trip, is just enough to, you know. But I'm still going to try and get there. I'm still going to try and do the investigation, even though, because, you know, I don't know if I believe in... And all of this, you know, hocus-pocus stuff that surrounds these stories. But it's just amazing to me that the timing of me wanting to go out there and me, you know, basically collapsing is kind of an interesting thing.
Well, when can people find out if you're going to be at the lounge? Is that going to be on the website or...
Well, there's no way to update. In fact, people can call me. The number's on MySpace. People would call me anyway. They can find out if I'm going to be there. Chances are I'll probably be there. I mean, it's like, you know, I've got, another couple hours before, and they were getting ready to take what they call a blood gas on me.
That's probably unimportant. You should just disregard it and leave.
Yeah, and then they were going to walk me around the facility, and they give me these cool surgeon pants to wear, so I'm pretty hip on that. They're kind of maroon.
We're like an hour behind on a break here, but so tonight, Ground Zero Lounge, 8 o'clock, and then, but in the meantime, people can go to your MySpace page, which is myspace.com/... Clyde Lewis?
Or they can, it's Ground Zero Radio, /Ground Zero Radio. But they can also go into the forum if they want to call and see how I'm doing. I mean, a lot of people have called me, and I think that's very nice. And I don't have any access to the internet, so you can't send me emails. I'm probably going to be leaving later on this evening and go to the lounge. I mean, because I did my lounge. I went into surgery once and came back and did my lounge in a wheelchair. So, I mean, it's just my... It's just what I do. I mean,
you're the iron sides of paranormal radio.
I'm the iron
sides
of paranormal, yeah. Exactly. So, but you know, it's like you worked at radio long enough to know that unless you're basically dying, you can do your shows.
That is true. All right. So it's myspace.com/groundzeroradio.
Yeah.
Groundzeromedia.org, and you can find Clyde's contact info there, drop him a phone call, whatever. So we'll get better.
Yeah,
my
hope
friend,
you feel better, Clyde.
And come see us when you're out and about.
I will.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
There goes Clyde Lewis. All right, turn off your mic for a second. So you can people now say something. Oh, it's only when somebody's on the
air. It's only when, and Jeff McGinley, we love you,
okay,
pumpkin,
so,
but you were
so,
supposed to fix this.
Okay, so this is interesting. So here's the phone now. Sarah, turn off your microphone. Now speak.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, see?
Great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So there is, in fact, no way to turn off the microphone.
I think yours might do it, too. Try yours.
Okay. I got to pick up a phone line. Hi, is this Cross Country Nate?
This is Cross Country Nate.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, hang on, Nate.
Don't say anything for a second. I'm going to talk, but just hang on. Don't say anything.
All right, so I'm turning. No, that.
I think it just might be mine.
All right, you try it again.
Turn. No, I could because I could earlier when we were with Clyde. Maybe it's only line two.
Okay.
All right. So there are these great, there's this great thing going on where we are actually now at some points unable to mute the mics. So let's all try not to use, like, the MF word or anything at all, even when the mics are off in here, because there is no way to keep them from leaking out onto the phone lines. So that's fantastic. Let's get Jeff McGinley to fix that.
Oh.
No. Well, maybe right after he hangs our television.
Oh, no.
All right.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
You're a little crazy, man.
No, it was just, I'm, here's the thing. It's because of you, Sarah. It's because I try to stay on task, and I try not to fall behind and be a laggard and be a bad boy in terms of breaks. But I know that we're really behind, and I know that I feel like I'm disrespecting you by having gone like 30 minutes late on a break here. And now we got cross country.
That's okay. It's my first day back. I'm still in kind of vacation mode.
All right. And no offense, Nate. Not that we don't want to talk to you. I'm just saying it's
just
been
kind of happened at the
very
same time.
Busy day. All right. So
Nate, how you doing?
Nate,
I'm great. I'll keep it quick. Give you guys the Midwest rundown.
You and Delaney and Kenesha are out there on the road, so what is what's up? Where are you guys at? What, are you still in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we're treated like spoiled little grandkids at these peoples we met, so we're leaving tomorrow morning. Yesterday we went to a NASCAR race. Everyone's like, stand up for the national anthem, and then some guy's like, thank you, Jesus, for the races. A big old long prayer.
Full on Borat
moment. Weirdest thing I've ever been to.
Excellent, excellent. So when are you guys heading out?
We're leaving tomorrow morning, heading towards the Great Lakes.
Great Lake. Now, I've never seen those. I went to Wisconsin, but I never saw anything. Didn't see anything around there. So, Great Lakes. Is there anything else?
Well, you're in Wisconsin right now, or you're going there?
No, we're in Wisconsin, and we're heading east now.
Eat lots of cheese curds.
I have. I've been bloated. I've been drunk for about a week. Thank God my son has a mother.
Fantastic. Now, on the between Wisconsin and then when you end up back in Portland, is there anything? Because we haven't even thought about what you guys are going to see on the way back. Is there anything that you've got planned out that you definitely are going to see on the way back here?
No. I don't know. No.
Have another beer.
Yeah. Bunch of stuff, yeah, really.
Genius. Well, I'll tell you what, we probably don't have time to do it today, but tomorrow...
Yeah, no worries.
We'll canvass the audience tomorrow. We'll get some suggestions on your trip back. And, some of the things you may want to look into. And do me a favor, if you get a chance, check in with us tomorrow, and we'll find out how the trip back is going. And drive safe, my friend. Best of the family. And I'm sure you're going to have a great time on the way back. We can't wait for you to get back here. But we'll try to figure out some things for you to see on the way, brother.
Right on. I'll probably be calling you from Michigan tomorrow. So
thank
take
you,
it
sir.
Easy.
Enjoy your final day at Wisconsin.
All right. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go.
Break time.
God damn. All right. I don't mean to sound like
you're doing good.
Sure. No, I'm just saying. I don't want to be that guy. Okay. I guess we don't have Peter Carlin today. So we'll break. We'll come back. We have to finish this story about PDX Teen Idol. Tim Riley. Okay. We have Tim Riley coming up. Really? Is this... Really? Should I? Okay. Hold on. Real quickly. Let's just... Hi, Rick Emerson. Sure. Who might this be?
Why do you guys have to keep cursing my name? I'm 6 weeks gone from that joint.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jeff McGinley.
Former engineer Jeff McGinley. Hi, how you doing?
You have a very competent engineering staff that can take care of all of your concerns. I'm gone.
Yes, I know. Wait,
yes, we're fully aware of that,
we're
Jeff.
We're fully
McGinley.
Aware of that.
I already had a squid for me, okay?
I will.
Yeah. I'd take time to praise the engineering staff, but I'm too busy spending my time watching this color television that's in the studio.
Oh, well, you can at least prop it up against the wall.
Oh, wait,
you
need
the code
on.
To get in the engineering office.
Hold on, no, that's just a blank wall. I'm sorry. I always mistake those two things. All right. No, I don't mean to sound bitter. It's okay. Don't you worry about it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you guys have a lovely afternoon.
We miss you. There's no sarcasm needed.
There's no need.
There's love all around.
There's no need for bitterness.
Do you miss us?
I do, actually. I miss you guys a lot.
Are you still drinking your Creative Vito every day?
No. It's not as easy to get at the other joint. There's no little convenience store that sells it right across the street.
Yeah, well.
There's that bento stand, though. That's pretty good.
There is the bento stand over there. That lovely Asian woman runs that bento place.
That's closed. I've never seen that open.
Really?
Oh, that sucks. Good turkey sandwiches.
Maybe there aren't enough people employed there to keep it in business now.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, it's possible. All right, well, I won't say anything. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
There you go. There's Jeff. Yeah, I played nice. I didn't say anything. I didn't say, say hi to the kissing staff for me. It's really tempting. I didn't. All right.
Well, somebody's got to keep those voice tracking machines
okay,
running.
Okay, enough.
All right, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, from the new CD, Ladylike Side One, here is Storm Lard with Fat Chicks Revenge. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
You played the game. Oh, point and laugh. Well, look at you now, begging for my auto.
Emerson radio program. I don't really think I'm alone there, though. I think half the country received that over the weekend. Why, hello there. Here's a free sample of Tide. Also, a copy of the new Michael Moore film.
I think Dick Cheney's behind it.
Well, you know, the weird thing about that Michael Moore film is how many conservatives are coming out in favor of it. A lot of conservatives are on Michael Moore's side with that. So it's going to be hard for the health industry to sort of spin that. You know, it might have been Moore himself. He actually, it was an interview this weekend where he was saying he didn't care. He was just like, pirate it. I don't care. I mean, he's the first to cop to that. He's like a multimillionaire already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does he care? All right, I mean, it's the Weinsteins who care about that, man.
Well, he's the only one walking around Manhattan with a crazy baseball cap on.
It's true. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. So here in a few, we'll recap. We'll do part two, part two of our final, what was I saying? It's that time of the day. We'll do the second half of our observations from the Portland Teen Idol Contest, which Scotty and I judged this weekend. In the meantime, though, would you please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A 16-year-old UW grad has earned a degree in neurobiology, biochemistry, and chemistry. What's next?
Go off.
Stanford Medical. Andrew Hsu taught himself to read at the age of 2. He was taking advanced placement high school classes at 8. And at 12, he could be found around the Seattle campus of UW on his motor scooter. No, he doesn't have any problem making friends. He just can't party like the rest of the kids.
The kid's not a human. He's a robot. By the way, just going to say this. I was watching, some channel this weekend, FX, something. And I had forgotten, we play Tim's opening there where it's got the Russian music. And yeah. I had completely forgotten where we got that. Anybody know where it's from?
No.
It's
Hunt for Red October.
Hunt for Red October, I had forgotten about. Because to me, it's like I don't even think about it anymore. I just think about it. It's Jim Riley's music. And it's from the sequence at the end when they're evacuating the Red October. And it's when, what's his name, Tim Curry says, "You'll receive the Order of Lenin for this, sir." Because... Exactly. And it makes the hair on my neck stand up, actually. It gives me chills. Because it's that sequence when all of the enlisted men are abandoning the Red October. And Connery said, do you notice how nobody in that movie even pretends to have a Russian accent, though? None of them. I mean, I know they speak English, and that's a concession they make to dumb American audiences. But they don't even pretend to have a... Freaking Sean Connery is talking a full-on Scottish brogue through the whole film. Tim Curry's talking in an English accent. No one even pretends that they're foreign. But he's like, "You'll receive the Order of Lenin for this, sir, and you know, we got to go down with the ship," you know, or whatever it is he says, and then they play that song. So I had to go back and watch it 3 or 4 times. Really cool. Here's Tim Riley, kid.
In other news this afternoon, NBC will premiere its new take on Dating Tonight. Age of Love will feature 13 women vying for the affections of 30-year-old Aussie tennis sensation Mark Philippoupoulos.
He's full of poop?
Apparently so.
Okay.
Philippoupoulos. But according to Age of Love executive producer J.D. Roth, there is a catch involved.
Women are beautiful, they're just not so young. And as each one comes out and they introduce themselves and, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm 40, and I'm 42, and I'm 46. You can slowly see the panic on Mark's face.
Yes, he's panicked. Who would... Seriously, I don't even have the stomach. I just don't even have the... Really? You can see the panic on his face?
Yeah.
He's how old? 30-something?
30, yeah.
He's panicked.
They're a whole 10 years older than
he is. Oh, my God. I might have to have sex with a hot woman who's 40 years old. Somebody better friggin' kill me. Life doesn't get any worse. Be a man. Grow a pair. Quit your bitching.
Yes, younger women dating older women is happening more and more in this society of ours.
You've got Ashton in love with Demi, and I know him well, and he's definitely in love. You know, he's in his 20s.
I hate whoever this guy is.
You've got Katie Couric dating a younger guy.
Ass.
I mean, this is out there. This is part of
it's out
culture
there
right now.
It's crazy.
He's the executive producer, J.D. Roth.
Tonight on Slut Wars.
Oh, man.
Panic. He's panicked.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Anybody's ever been to the hospital or doctor's office had to wear one of those flimsy gowns, the ones that are open in the back, exposing your posterior, leaving people overexposed.
Exposing your what?
Posterior. The days of wearing those dreaded hospital gowns are numbered. Patients at the Cleveland Clinic...
Well, ow, oh, no! Oh, damn it. Son of a... Okay.
Are now wearing new gowns that look more like robes. They tie in the front, not in the back. Dr. Bridget Duffy is the chief experience officer, whatever that means, at the Cleveland Clinic. She addresses the emotion and physical needs of patients and employees at the Cleveland Clinic.
They're much longer. They cover up more parts of your body. They're warmer. And most importantly, they close in the front and they have two nice ties, so you're not flapping as you're walking down the hall.
Why did it take this long to come up with the idea that maybe you don't want to be like having your ass hanging out? Why? Really? Haven't the makers of every other kind of clothing on planet Earth known this for, I don't know, 700 years or something? Why did it take this long to decide that maybe you should have a hospital robe that can close on the back?
Well, the new gown should be a big hit at the Cleveland Clinic.
It's very much a group effort, grassroots. And I would say, most importantly, we had patient input from the very get-go. So we listened to the voice of the patient to help define this gown.
Whatever.
The voice of the patient.
Uh-huh. I'm still back hating that guy from that stupid reality show. Seriously, don't you want to have a reality show where somebody goes door-to-door and just savagely beats the creators of other reality shows?
That would be terrific.
I'd absolutely watch that. So, all right. Well, I mean, really. I mean, I thought they were... Never mind. I'm done.
Well, Apple claims its new highly anticipated iPhone will have a battery life that supports 8 hours of talk time. The battery also supports 7 hours of video playback, 6 hours of internet use, 24 hours of music playback, and it'll feature 10 days of standby time. When the phone was unveiled in January, I didn't think it was unveiled till the end of the month.
It hasn't been unveiled. Nobody's ever seen it. Never has there been so much consumer demand for a device. For all we know, the phone doesn't even really exist.
It's going to be terrific.
No, I know. See, now I feel like you and I are just locked into this red state, blue state thing every time there's an Apple story where I have to just... Again, even if I don't want to, I feel now, this is like, I feel like we've become some Apple Mac or some Apple Windows version of Crossfire, where no matter what I'm really
the skinny guy, and
I have to be Bob Novak, even if I don't want to. You know, this phone is just stupid. It's just, it's dumb, and it smells. And I just have to sit here and make these anti-Apple comments now, even if I don't really agree with them. I will say this, the phone's like $700, isn't it?
No, it's $499.
Well, it's $500, God, man. It better make me high toast and give me a back rub, $500. Jesus.
Well, the iPhone's touch-sensitive screen will be made out of optical quality gas.
Oh, glass. I'm sorry. It's made out of gas.
The combo cell phone media player and wireless web device will only be sold in stores by AT&T.
Oh, well.
They have an exclusive offer.
I mean, look, here's the thing.
$499 for 4 gigabytes, $599 for 8 gigabytes of storage.
It's $600! It's a phone! I mean...
And it's an internet device.
All right. We don't have time to talk about this now, probably, because we've got to do the PDX Tinato thing. I'm going to put a pin in this. Would you save that story? Well, who am I kidding? There's going to be another 500 stories about the iPhone every
day. I'll get another one tomorrow.
From the endless Apple publicity machine. Oh, I'm writing it down right now. We're going to talk about the iPhone tomorrow.
We will.
I will try not to be confrontational about it, but I do. I have some thoughts on the iPhone. And
we all do.
Yes, I'm sure. Rick, it's a long-held tradition in Hollywood that foreigners on screen speak in an English accent. That's true, no matter who they are. No matter what nationality they are, they speak in English. In an English accent. Yeah, they could be German, for that matter. They speak in an English accent. All right. Let's do one more, and then Scotty and I will finish up the thing, and then we got a break.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell used a public appearance over the weekend to get a jab into her former The View co-host. According to People magazine, she was playing the drums at Cyndi Lauper's True Color concert tour in Maryland. O'Donnell told the crowd, quote, "I've got to tell you, I've been hanging around with those heteros a full year and it's not fun," unquote.
Okay. Thanks so much, Rosie. I appreciate that.
Wendy's might be for sale.
Maybe she and Isaiah Washington can go hang out together.
Oh, yeah, I have a few lesbian friends, and one of them called me a breeder once, and I just don't appreciate
well,
that.
Well, that's
inaccurate.
You haven't bred
any.
You haven't bred
exactly.
At all.
Exactly.
I know breeders,
and I will
Sarah. Know. And you are. I know breeders, and you are no breeder.
Right.
Breeder.
Okay, that's funny.
I barely knew her.
Scotty, please come here now. Please. I can't play the thing anymore. The thing just drives me crazy, the little Scotty sounder. I can't, She said that at a Cyndi Lauper concert?
Yeah.
I thought,
they're all buddies. Is Cyndi Lauper gay?
I thought that Cyndi Lauper was married to a man.
Yeah, well, she is, but they're in this charity concert tour.
Oh, I see. All right, well, whatever. You know, is she going to get the Price is Right gig or not?
I bet she will. If Bob Barker has anything to do with it, if he has any cult in the world.
Which he does. He endorsed her the other day. I didn't see his final show. Did anybody?
No.
He'll be
back.
It's on the YouTube. Yeah, no, he won't be able to stay away.
No.
You know, they're selling one of his microphones on eBay.
Oh, how much?
I don't know, but thousands, it's got to be.
Yeah, they're those long ones, right?
Yeah, no, it's that huge
game show host microphone.
That microphone, the skinny microphone he used to have. Those things are so cool. All right, so we got to recap. We're going to finish talking about Scotty not judging the Portland scene, I don't think. All right, girl crying in the bathroom, yes. Passing the losing, I'm sorry, non-winning family on the way to the bathroom. The 13-year-old I mentioned, Samantha, who was so just unbelievably talented, there was a great moment. God, we were so old. There was a great moment where Scotty, because they wanted you to comment on their outfits sometimes, too, just like did the appropriateness of the outfit for the song. Like, if you were singing a 60s song, you know, you don't want to come
out. Full-on beauty pageant mode.
Well, and not only that, but, like, there's this girl who sang, like, a power ballad in the 80s, and she had the full-on stiletto heels and the glittery, sequiny, very 80s looking.
And she was only 8.
Basically. But there was another girl who sang, like You Can't Hurry Love, and she had the cool 60s outfit. I mean, you know. But Scotty said, hey, that's a great outfit, kind of a Sonny and Cher thing. And this girl
had no idea.
The girl had no idea who Sonny and Cher were.
That was even
none.
Before.
That wasn't my point.
None.
My point was she belonged on a variety show.
Whatever, but the point is the girl had no idea who Sonny or Cher were.
She did kind of, it was like silent for a second.
Totally, and the audience all laughed.
What the hell is that?
The audience laughed because they knew why she was silent, because Scott and I are friggin' old.
Sonny and Cher, I've heard of Sonny Delight.
Let's see, trying to praise even the bad performances. That was the other thing. After we got the second note, don't make them cry. No simoning.
No.
Like, I kept having to come up with, like, some of the performances were just not that strong, and you're, like, having to come up with the whole, you have good posture, you know, just like,
you're wearing sensible shoes.
Totally, just comments about, like, well, whatever. Let's see, what else? Scotty said that this is a quote, I don't really want to stand around the reception area, because at the end, when they announced the winner, then there was, like, a little reception. Scotty said, quote, I don't want to stand around the reception area. I want to die, end quote. And then he said,
I felt
was this
bad,
on mic?
Man.
No.
I don't even know how I pulled it off.
I thought you'd quit drinking, Scotty.
I did, but I was back on the, I was off the wagon, but now I'm back.
No, you were on the wagon.
I have a friend like
I'm
that.
I'm back on the wagon
like
now.
A 3-day bender, and he's like, I'm never drinking again, I'm never drinking again. And then you see him like a week later, and he's just stumbling
see
all
him
over
vomiting
himself.
Four times at the dinner party.
And then he cleans his act up like a day later, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm on the straight and narrow.
Scotty's like
well,
that
was a 3-hour bender.
Yeah. Scotty told me, and then Scotty said, do you remember what your pat excuse is for when you're hungover and you got to leave?
I left the water on.
Yeah, Scotty goes, hey, Rick, I got to leave. I left the water running at home. And I said, what? And he just goes, oh, that's my standard excuse when I'm hungover.
That sounds reasonable.
Let's see. Commissioner Dan Saltzman has promised to come on the show. I got witnesses. Everybody was a witness there.
Yes,
Commissioner Dan Saltzman promised to come on. And he said, so, is it like a law? He's been like a nice guy. But he clearly had no idea who we were. None. Zero. And he goes, so, is it like a, no, what did he go? He goes, you can ask me the tough questions?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, no. And then I realized.
Like the Bob Billy
show. Said, yeah.
Yeah, no, I realized this kind of annoying him. And he goes, so is it like a Lars Larson show?
Oh, exactly.
And I said, yeah, but like not fat and crazy, you know.
And crazy. What's your maturity level? Is this at a pizza?
You know, well, that should have told him right there what kind of show we are, you know. You know, we don't have beady eyes.
I don't know where this rivalry ever came into play. I came on too late on your show, so maybe the listeners want to know.
No, they don't. No one cares.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
Okay.
That's why they're
here. Let's see. A girl. That seriously, they really cared about Lars Larson.
They wouldn't be listening to this show.
Would they be listening to us right now? A 14-year-old girl sang Ladylike by Storm Large. That was one of the highlights of the evening for me. Just
nice
that I wanted
job on
to,
that. Yep.
That is biting off a lot. She did a pretty good job. But I got to tell you, man, that's ambition right there, especially in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then this. I will not identify, and I'm not going to identify any of these kids by name, but there was this, there's a guy that came out, and he sang a Phil Collins song. He sang Against All Odds, you know, the Take a Look at Me Now. And just like the whitest song, you don't get whiter than Phil Collins.
Yeah.
And then his other song was, I can't remember, but it was something equally like sort of middle of the road. It was like
Michael Bolton?
It was like that. It was like Dancing on the Ceiling by Lionel Richie or something. Just something relentlessly white bread. Yeah. And I'm like, who would possibly pick these two unbelievably bleached out songs? And then I look at his bio and it was like, we'll be attending Brigham Young University this fall. And finally, we've got this. This is, Scotty, here's the least likely comment I ever would have heard. This is not about a competitor, but this is about one of the bands that was playing, like, an intermission set, just some band that came up and played an intermission. Scotty, no one has ever heard a band described this way before. Scotty says, quote, and I can do a whole thing on this tomorrow, but Scotty said, quote, this band's got a real Vertical Horizon thing going on.
They did.
I don't know what that means.
What is that?
Do you even remember?
Sound like that band.
Do you remember? Do you even remember that band? And then I wrote down to myself, high concept topic. Forgotten 90s bands. One hit wonders that only you remember.
Vertical Horizon. What song did
they have like one hit.
Do you even... okay, promise me that you won't look it up between now and like tomorrow.
I was looking it up right now, but I'll stop.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
He's everything you want.
Oh, yeah, that song gets stuck in your head.
They kind of had that sound.
Yeah.
Going.
All right, well, whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Who name checks Vertical Horizon? They got a real space hog kind of a vibe.
When you're hungover.
Seriously. So, no, I wrote to myself, high concept topic, one hit wonders only you remember, 90s bands we have all forgotten about. I'm going to do that like later this week.
Oh.
So I'll act like it's spontaneous, but if you're listening now, you know that that's a hack work that I'm going to be doing later this week. We got a break. Back after this, and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. Don't go anywhere, kids. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by.
I don't think I have time to do any of these other things I wanted to do. Let's see here.
You got a couple minutes.
Yeah, I got this monkeys thing.
Monkeys?
You weren't here on the...
Sorry, I'm off mic. You weren't here on the Thursday and Friday. A whole bunch of stories that I'll catch you up on. Well, let me just say this. Did you ever just catch part of a conversation? I wrote this down. I walked by two guys in the street the other day, and one of them was saying to the other one, quote, that's creepy. That's like stuffing your wife or something and having her sitting there looking at you.
What?
I don't know. Somebody said that on Thursday. I wrote it down and immediately sent it to myself. I was walking down the street, and one guy passed me, and he said to the other guy, that's creepy. That's like stuffing your wife or something and having her sitting there looking at you. I don't know what came before this or what came after it, but as the two men were walking by me in the street, that's what they said. I took the time to write it down. All right. Let me just read some emails. How long until the music starts here?
Two.
All right. Rick, about Susan's auditory birth control, that totally reminded me of my childhood. I used to talk to my parents in sarcastic baby talk and then tell them, I'll treat you like an adult when you start acting like an adult. When Dad didn't have a belt on, he used my rubber Hot Wheels tracks to beat me. Good times. Let's see. About City Commissioner Dan Saltzman and Rick. In Portland, city commissioners that sit on the city council and oversee the various branches of city government, i.e. the Water Bureau, Police Bureau, Parks and Recreation. Oh, that's why. Because he oversees Parks and Recreation. And they were the ones putting on the Portland Teen Idol thing. Rick, about Michael Allen Harrison. Mr. Harrison is a very popular jazz pianist in Portland. His style and skill are the Windham Hill Stream of Consciousness, BS, says this email. His record productions are mostly his own work. He's also very, very generous with his time, doing a lot of charity work and money. And then there's some non-flattering things about watching him perform in public, which I will not read because Michael was really nice to us. Rick, about that billboard, this is reaching all the way back to the noon hour. I was talking about a radio station billboard, which is embarrassing. He says, Rick, I know what billboard you're talking about. That billboard fills me with a homicidal rage that I can't explain. The worst thing about that billboard is that it's been around for years. Every month, those two guys are at a different location, ruining my morning drive. They even have two different versions, each with the superhero roles interchanged. Sons of bitches, says Ryan. What
those
else?
Those are really annoying. I always see it driving down MLK from going over I-84. They're everywhere there.
Let's see. Lisa Rinna was married to Harry Hamlin, who was on Dancing with the Stars. I've said too much. Me, out. And there we go. All right. Let's see. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, also Steve Castamon, who we did not have time for today, Clyde Lewis, Cross Country Nate, and Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. Tomorrow, Dennis Pitzenbarger joins us on the show. We'll talk about this scandal with the second worst story in the history of the world, and we'll get Sarah up to speed on some of the things she missed Thursday and Friday, plus more talk about the Apple iPhone, plus the top five. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah F. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA is Scotty J, and of course, the gatekeeper and shredmaster is Dave Zinn. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down, and do try to help the retarded. I raised $29 for them today. What did your ass do? Like us next. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye.